Brian, thanks. It's us. Hi, everybody. Bill and Wendy. It's Friday. We're thrilled
and
you're
I'm
listening.
In love.
And Wendy's in love. 312-981-7200. If you're also in love, I'm Delilah. I'm Billilah, her brother.
Is she in the like Radio Hall of Fame, Delilah?
She's in the Radio Hall of something. I don't know if it's fame. Is it? Did you ever listen to that show by accident?
I really have. And who would you like your dedication to go out to today? It's really nice to be lovely to your wife. Happy wife, happy life.
That's what she
I'm
says.
Delilah.
Yes. God.
I know.
I don't get it. I don't think she's on in Chicago anymore, is she? I don't think so.
She was on
for a long time.
I never intentionally listened to her.
It was crazy. I worked at the same station as she did, so the game was...
I found you to be very hot, Bill.
Wouldn't that be something?
I'm Delilah.
She had kids like once a month.
She had
dozens of children.
That's because I love to love.
I think she did love to love. I think she did her shows from Florida. We, of course, live here in Chicago, but she was carried at night on our station.
I've been carried.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And fed grapes.
So we would get calls all the time from people who wanted to leave. They'd say to her, I know she's not at the station now because she's on at night, but could you tell her? And then they'd tell us some message to pass on to Delilah.
Did you pass them
on?
Yeah,
I'll tell her. When I see her, I'll tell her.
You couldn't email her?
No. She's in the hospital having more kids. She
How
can't
many
be
kids
bothered.
Do I have?
She had a lot. I'm serious. I read a story about her in People magazine. I think she has 9 or 10 kids.
13 children, 10 of which, though, are adopted.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little long in the tooth.
Wikipedia is correct.
That's a lot of kids for a lady on anything.
Yes, but who is in People magazine and who wasn't?
Not me.
She's also voiced Sarah in the VeggieTales episode of Abe and the Amazing Promise.
I didn't realize that.
There you go.
That seems weird that I would do some kind of religious thing when I keep having kids.
Well,
am I married?
I don't know that she's married. Do you need to be? She's been married a few times. I know that because that was one of the options when I signed on at the light is I could either get stock options or get married to Delilah.
she's been married to Paul. Not seen a last name
from
since 2012.
From the Bible.
I don't have a last name. Why should my husband?
Right.
I'm Delilah. He's
less,
Paul.
Last names just bog you down.
None of my kids have last names either.
No. If you have a last name, then people can get a hold of you. If you have no last name, you're harder to track.
Evidently, people can't get a hold of me because they called you to make a request.
Right.
Maybe it's like Madonna. Maybe he's maybe he's just the Paul.
Right. That's it.
I know Madonna.
You're no Madonna, sir. You, sir, I know Madonna. You, sir, are no Madonna.
I'm not a sir.
No, I just meant to me. I just meant to me. All right. A couple of things. Number one, Ryan, you just mentioned something about the Olympics that it didn't startle Wendy and myself, but we didn't know about this. Somebody's going to go for the record of 20-0, but we didn't hear who it was.
Coach K.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Coach K's been with the team since, oh boy, remember
what
that
team?
Debacle?
Basketball
in,
coach.
Oh. Remember that debacle in 2000 in
nope.
Athens?
No,
it was 2004
debacle.
When they lost. Remember
they
Team USA men's
touted.
Basketball? It was Allen
oh,
Iverson
yeah.
and Carlos Boozer. They lost, I think, two or three games. They lost one in group play, and everyone's scratching their heads like, what the heck
How
happened?
Could this be?
And then in 2008, LeBron and Kobe said, you know what? We're going to take this back, and we're going to do this right.
And they did.
And they did. And they brought in Coach K to coach that team, and he has not lost since coaching the men's basketball team.
Yeah.
Wendy, Chicago guy, by the way.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
When you're a coach, there's no time. We were making
all the
fun
way
of,
from your last basketball to your last slip and sway.
That might
know.
Be true. I don't know what that means. When you're a coach, much like Delilah doesn't have a last name, you only have time for a letter. Coach Q will tell you that's the way to play it. Coach K the same way. You could be a coach, but just go with a letter. You don't need a full name. That's crazy.
Mike Krzyzewski.
That's his real name.
Yes.
Yep.
Polish
the
guy
K?
From the west side of Chicago.
Starts with a K.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That would do it.
Yep. We're trying to figure out this. There's been some talk that our favorite swimmer, Michael Phelps, who just keeps winning gold medals, he just walks by a swimming pool and he wins a gold medal. It's the craziest thing. He may or may not return in 4 years.
He'll go back.
Do you think he will?
Absolutely. He has got, doesn't, now how many golds does he have right now?
22 today, right now, as of this moment.
22 gold medals.
Yeah, that could change
and
tonight and
tomorrow.
And isn't
this the record?
Yes.
Of gold record?
He passed that last Olympics.
For any sport.
Yeah.
For all sports.
And he's 31, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And he was thinking about retiring. He wasn't even going to participate in these games.
Right.
After 2008, he's like, I'm done. I'm old now.
Think about what the training, think about how grueling just the train, even as great as he is, he still has to swim. I'm guessing he trains every day.
Oh, yeah.
And
he seems to like it.
He's so good at it. He's just so good at it.
At this point, you got to go for see how many gold medals you can get.
Do you finish out on top? Like Seinfeld. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good...
Right.
What's the deal with all the gold medals?
Let's say you're the best swimmer in the world, and I guess he is. I don't know who else would be, him, right?
Contested. I guess he is.
So other than just flat out endorsement money, where do you make your money? Like in other sports,
Oh my gosh, he can go and speak at every single event. How much more businesses are going to throw money at him to go and speak at their? To mention, I'm sure he's going to open up his own aqua center, or at least that's what I would do. You know, and then you can coach or there are a lot of things.
There's other avenues for that.
I think so.
Because you know, like for most athletes, if you're great at a sport, the bulk of it comes from playing that sport. But
that's a good question.
I don't think in
who
swimming.
Pays him?
Right.
But who needs money when you're going to get a free meal at every restaurant you go into anyways, right? You just flash one of your 22 goals.
Right.
Maybe leave one behind.
Right, as a tip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's going to have back trouble if he keeps wearing all those medals. He won't be able to participate in 4 years.
I can't wait for that picture because you know Sports Illustrated or Time Magazine. So, someone's going to try to put that together. I don't even know how that's possible. I don't even think Mr. T could handle that.
Think about all the things he can talk about, though. He's a big advocate for ADHD, for being 31 years old and being the most decorated athlete. Never give up.
Right.
He went to rehab and allegedly has cleaned up his life. That's a whole other thing.
From rehab to Rio. I got a book title for it. Would you text that over to him, Kevin?
And the theme song? What do we care? This is the worst song I have ever heard in my life. Congratulations to Bill Leff for coming up with this.
You're
we have kept it alive each and every day this week.
You're welcome.
It's Olympic week here on WGN.
Yes, it is. A quick break and then more talk. Want to jump in? 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy.
Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. Worst song ever.
If this isn't the worst song ever, it's in the top two. It's awful.
Well, let's get to
know. And the movie, I mentioned this the other day, and you've never seen this movie, Blame It on Rio. When I was a kid and I saw this movie, it was very... what's the word?
Enlightening.
It was titillating to see this movie.
I can't say that on the radio.
With Michael Caine, Joseph Bologna, Michelle Johnson, Demi Moore, Valerie Harper plays the ex-wife in the movie. And if you see it now as an adult, it would make you cringe for 100 minutes. It's just so awful.
Two friends go away, older men, and one of them takes on with the...
Has an affair with the other one's daughter.
Daughter.
Michael Caine in the movie is right around 50. The girl is about 16. I don't know...
how that was made.
I can't imagine.
Blame it on Rio.
You got to blame it on Rio. That's all you can do, Ryan.
All right, well, we had mentioned before, I looked up who Lisa Roberts Gillen was, who sings this song. Can we hear a little more of her fantastic work? And she was born in Georgia, and she's an actress, producer, known for Runaway Bride, Duplicity, and Made in Manhattan, M-A-I-D.
Oh, yeah, right.
And she is the middle sister of Julia Roberts and Eric Roberts.
Is that true?
According to IMDb,
that
Internet
girl
Movie Data Bill.
Is Julia Roberts and Eric Roberts'
I
sister.
I think she might be a half sister. I'm not positive. She appeared.
Now, Julia Roberts does not speak to Eric Roberts. If I was Julia Roberts, I would not speak to this sibling. This would be the girl I would not speak to.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I don't
just for singing
anybody...
this song.
Can we hear a little more of it, Kevin? Because, you know, now to explain who she is, imagine Julia Roberts and Eric Roberts listening to this going, oh, my God.
Oh, this is from the top, I think, right? No? What if we both went a little bit crazy?
Crazy. What if our hearts felt a little bit hazy? Blame it on Rio. She's horrible. He's not that bad.
Of the two, right. I guess of the two, if you had to pick one, though, it's not as horrible.
Right. It's like our election.
Right. This was a precursor. The song Blame It on Rio got America ready for this year's election. You're right.
All right. So Lisa Roberts, born in 1965. So she's about 55-ish.
Yeah, I guess that would. Well, boy, I never put it together because she doesn't sound like either one of them. She's got
the same
intensity.
Have you heard either one of them sing?
I think she sounds a little like Eric. Yeah, maybe she does. Like around Pope of Greenwich Village years? Yeah, maybe.
Right. She appeared in Friends, the one after the Super Bowl, alongside her sister Julia Roberts as a set assistant on Marcel the Monkey's movie set.
Oh, interesting.
And then she made it big with this song.
I was able to isolate just my favorite part of the song.
Oh, don't.
It's driving us crazy.
Kanye's going to sample that. It's going to be on Kanye West's new album coming up.
Good. Good. It has shelf life.
Can we talk to Peter real quick? Hey, Peter.
Hi. I think you need to listen to the soundtrack of the movie Attack of the Killer Tomatoes from 1978.
It's the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. That's their theme song, right?
Yes.
It's pretty bad, too.
It's right there is, you know, these killer tomatoes are stalking people in their living room as they're sitting on the couch. I think the budget for the movie was $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen it, Wendy?
No.
It's everything about it's awful. But they
awful?
But, well, they set out, the people who made Attack of the Killer Tomatoes set out to make an awful movie.
And that's a good
goal. They succeeded.
Yes.
They pulled it off.
But, Peter, the reason we're not playing that is it has no correlation to the Olympics.
Well, you know, it is competitive. Each tomato is out there trying to kill somebody.
Let's hear a little sample of it. Peter, share with us.
Okay.
Attack of the killer tomatoes. Attack of the killer tomatoes. They'll beat you, bash you, squish you, mash you, chew you up for brunch.
Kind of like
finish
it.
You off for dinner or lunch.
This isn't bad.
That's actually kind of good.
It's not crazy. I love the sound effects.
Right.
They're gooey, gushy, squishy, mushy, rotten to the core. They're standing outside your door.
Good rhymes, Bernie Taupin.
It reminds me of like a Haunted Mansion-y type thing.
It has that same kind of a beat.
Makes me want to shop for produce.
I don't think it's that bad, Peter.
Well, you have to give them credit. They spent $100,000 to make it, and they made over $500,000. So they know something I don't.
Success.
They Let's made all a make success. A movie.
Thanks,
you,
guys.
Me, and
have
Bill.
Have a great hour.
You too, Peter.
Thanks.
Thank you
have
very much.
Have a great
much.
Hour.
Yeah.
We're going to go nuts after that? What? Crazy?
That song, by the way, Blame It on Rio, has such a 70s disco. I mean, when you look at the music of that era, they all had that same kind of...
Yeah, but most of them were good. And they had decent... You dropped a bomb on me. You got the, you know, what other disco songs? At least they had good vocalists. Maybe it wasn't your cup of tea.
But she was emulating the singing style at the time. You know, that
Who's
Studio
singing
54.
Style?
Like almost everybody who had a hit back in the 70s had that same kind of Studio 54 kind of a feel to them, you know?
Yeah, but again, you need a good voice.
Right, right. But I imagine if you're growing up and you're Julia Roberts and Eric Roberts' sister, you're just trying to find something, you know? You're hoping it's your voice.
Did they just
career
hire,
advice, it's not.
I know. Did they just hire her because she is the sister of Eric and
Julia Roberts?
Yeah, Julia.
Although at the time of Blame It on Rio, I don't think Julia Roberts was an entity back then. Eric Roberts was coming into some prominence, but I don't think Julia Roberts would have been known back then.
So Lisa paved the way for the Roberts family?
Yes, we have her to thank. Yes.
I feel sorry for her. Now I feel terribly sorry for
her. We've given her a bunch of airplay this week.
Not in a positive light.
No, not in a very positive light. No, I agree. I know.
All right. Well, I think we should put that song to rest for next week. I think we...
No
I,
more playing of
I don't know. I can't help myself. It's like an accident. I can't stop looking at it.
Yikes. All right. Some news is coming your way next, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Ryan, thanks. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday. We've gotten a lot of angry mail, texts, people driving by just furious because of the song that we've been playing thanks to the Olympics. There's a song called Blame It on Rio that we found out today. Wendy did some digging, some research, and it is the sister of Julia Roberts and Eric Roberts who's responsible for this song. We know it's awful.
She knows it's awful.
Everybody knows it's awful. You can't surprise anybody with that. It's an awful song. It's performed horribly. And
but we love it here.
I don't know what it is. I went out of my way to find the worst song I could find that has Rio in it. And now I'm thinking maybe next week we should play a more pleasant song that reminds us of Rio and the Olympics. Do you think, or do you want to keep the bad one?
It's become campy to me. I kind of like the bad
one. We can
one.
Keep the bad one. I'm all right with that.
See, I would feel empty if we were
without
talking
this?
About the Olympics and we weren't hearing
right.
that.
All right. Can I suggest a song or two, though? You know, Terry Nunn was in a few days ago from Berlin.
My new best friend who sent me her number and wants me to go stay with her in L.A.
Your new best friend, Terry Nunn of Berlin, suggested a Duran Duran song that has Rio in it. And that's a good song. Can we play a little bit of that? Do you
Why
like that one?
What did we think of that?
That's really pretty good.
I miss the Taylor brothers.
Andy?
They're not brothers, yes. They're not related.
I don't think they are related, no. are they? I don't think they are.
All and right. Simon Le Bon,
Simon
who
all.
Wears l'essence.
Yes.
That commercial coming up in 5 minutes.
All right, so... right. Part two of that commercial. So, all right, so that's a very good song.
That's and a great one.
You know what? There's a song called Brazil that... Everyone in the world knows this song, but I don't think a lot of people know the title of the song, but it's Brazil, although I think they spell it with extra letters. I think they spell it like Brasil or something
no,
like that.
No, it's just instead of a Z, it's an S, because that's how they would say it.
Oh, yeah.
Brasil.
Yeah, yeah. Say that again for me.
Brasil.
Brasil, like that. So that's the song, I think, if you heard it, you'd go, oh, of course, Brasil, you would say out loud to yourself. Can we play, do you have that? Can we play a little bit of that, Kevin? Brasil?
Stay tuned, because
you'll know it in a yeah. minute. Yeah. They're just warming up now, the band. This song makes me want ceviche.
Yeah.
I just want some ceviche now.
I want a mojito.
Yeah.
And anabalabal.
Yes. CCC.
To translate for me.
Si, senor. Now you know it, right? This part? Not, 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 not. For instance, Wendy, if you had a business by which you attended circuses and spun plates, you would have this song ready. It's a good
it's a good
plate spinning song.
Although it's a little slow. It's not that.
It's not rapid fire.
Wow.
Right. That's a better plate spinning song.
I gotta go back to that. I used to be pretty good at the plate spinning.
Oh, that's a talent that you can never underestimate. Do you know who that was performing that song just now, that Brasil? Do you know who that was?
No.
That was the music of Xavier Cugat, who was married to a celebrity for many, many years. Do you know who that would be?
Mm.
I know Ryan would know this. Ryan, a huge Xavier Cugat fan.
And is it Xavier or Xavier? Because I know both.
Xavier.
I think an X... Other than an X-ray is...
An, Xavier.
Like xylophone? You don't say xylophone.
You don't, no.
Unless you're trying to escape.
Realtor. So, unless you're trying to escape?
It's just a stream of consciousness radio
That's
show
all you're
today.
Getting today.
It's Friday. What
That's
do you expect?
That's what you're getting
We've
today.
Worked hard all week.
Xavier Cugat was married to...
Give me a hint.
She logged more appearances on The Love Boat than any other actress.
Charo? Seriously?
I hope people are impressed by the fact you got it based on that fun fact, because that was amazing that you knew that, but that's true. Charo
that's
was on The Love
knowledge.
Boat. It does, I guess every yeah, they teach that in school.
Oh, Now I just threw out my back.
You just brought a lemur to the window. When you did that, a lemur came to our window.
All right, there are more Rio songs
There's a couple. You know who's got Mike Nesmith, formerly of the Monkees, has a Rio song that I like, but I know you're not going to like it.
I like Mike Nesmith a lot, but this is Rio bad.
I see what you did there.
Did you catch that? It was subtle.
I'm seeing the sound of the sea. My feet have gone loose from their moorings. I'm feeling quite wonderfully.
This is like his version of a Jimmy Buffett song.
And I think I will travel
you get, you're getting a Jimmy Buffett-y thing. You're not? No?
In fact, at the very beginning, it sounds like he lifted a song, and I can't think of it right now. Echoes of My Mind. Is that Glen Campbell?
That's Glen Campbell.
It's very Glen Campbell to me.
Yeah, there's similarities.
It's real trippy, though. If you would like to watch the video, you can YouTube it, because he is flying with beautiful women on his back.
Yes, as he often did.
As much?
I would have figured he'd be on a horse with
you
this
would
song.
Think, yeah. Right, riding on a beach on a horse. The video for this was one of the first music videos ever made, by the way. This is part of his Elephant Parts CD slash video production.
He it says ex-monkey, but he's back with the Monkees, and we're going to be talking to Peter Tork.
I know.
I saw Mike Nesmith at the when I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame, and they Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash exhibit opened, and they did this free concert. And I told you, Al Cooper from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, a great keyboard player, was there. Charlie Daniels literally flew in for one song and with a helicopter. And flew back out. Mike Nesmith was there looking great, all dressed in white, and kind of sang with his back to the audience, was not very personable.
He was facing the wrong way?
He kind of wasn't looking like he was enjoying being there, and then as soon as his song was over, he was out of there. He looked cranky and crotchety, but sounded great.
But the first thing they teach you in musician school is you're supposed to face the audience. You don't want to face away from the audience. That's counterproductive. You want to face the audience.
I know.
Why was he? Did somebody just spin him around and he landed on the wrong side?
I don't know, but he is back with Peter Tork and Mickey Dolenz.
But I think only in the California shows. I don't think he tours with them. I think if they play in Los Angeles or San Diego or something, he does those shows. I don't think he travels.
He's just half in?
Yeah.
You gotta go.
He's like Ken Harrelson. He's like the Hawk Harrelson of the Monkees.
How about that?
Yeah.
Does he just decide when he's gonna call a game or not? Mercy.
I know.
I got a can of corn to tend to. Right. I ain't working here.
We're gonna do some last train to Clarksville. Mercy.
All right, well, that I like Mike Nesmith, but it's...
But face the other way, Mike, when performing in front of a crowd.
And again, I watched that Doors biopic or whatever, and Things Are Strange or something like that. And Morrison, his very first few concerts, he had his back to the audience because he was in rehearsal, you face your bandmates.
Oh, I guess.
And he just wasn't very comfortable, and then, like, you couldn't... stop him from taking his pants off and doing that. He got really comfortable with the audience.
Yep.
But Mike Nesmith was, he seemed just really like he didn't want to be there. And it was really exciting to see him when he came out on stage with all these people last year in Nashville.
I can imagine.
Country Music Hall of Fame, all these greats. There were a bunch of country western stars, kids that were there that are now adults.
Yeah.
And he just really.
Conway Twitty Jr., was he there?
I'm not sure.
I wonder.
I don't think so. I was trying to think of a creative name for Twitty, and I couldn't.
I've told you this before. Mike Nesmith is one of the biggest reasons that MTV exists.
Yep.
He's got so much influence on that.
Absolutely. And his mom, of course, the invention.
Of Correctotype or Whiteout?
Whiteout or Liquid Paper. It was one of the liquid ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And how does Charo come back to bring this full circle
here? I don't
here?
Know. I have no idea. Look, calls are lining up. People want to find a song that we can play that doesn't make you sick to your stomach like the one we've been playing. So we'll take those calls next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
God, you are so slow.
Come What's on, wrong? Kevin. Oh, Kevin didn't have the song already? Oh, come on.
Well, the song that bothers us, it would be nice if we just had that little snippet before a commercial.
There it is.
Blame it on Kevin. I'm changing the lyrics. Know who this is?
Jose Greco?
No. It's not his brother Roman either.
Roman Greco, the inventor of wrestling. Is it?
You know who it is, but thanks for playing along.
It's Charo, isn't it?
Isn't she? You forget how great she was at this flamenco guitar. She is finger picking like crazy. Listen to this.
This is why I say, Wendy, that Charo is the most underestimated performer of our generation.
When have you said that before now?
I don't know if I've said it out loud, but I think it a lot. I just walk around thinking that.
Weren't you surprised the first time you saw this? Because you'd see Charo as being like this goofy hoochie-coochie
yeah. girl. And well, then, she would show up on Dinah Shore right. or Mike Douglas or Merv Griffin or The Tonight Show, and she was, you know, she was...
crazy.
She was Sofia Vergara.
A little bit crazy.
Before Sofia Vergara was Sofia Vergara,
you're right?
She invented Sofia Vergara. But then, yeah, she'd pull out that guitar, and
wow,
she was great.
You.
She won the heart of Xavier Cugat. Not easy to do. That's my grandma. She tried.
Unsuccessfully.
Very unsuccessfully. We could never bring it up at holidays.
All right. We were also, we wanted to talk about some songs to use for the Olympics. And you have an idea, Mary Lou?
I do.
Well, hello, Mary Lou.
What
hello.
Is it, Mary Lou? What song?
It's called Rio, and it's by Peter Allen.
From Fleetwood Mac?
No, Peter Allen was Liza Minnelli's husband for a while.
That is correct.
He's the boy from New York City. Peter you know the Green. Broadway show?
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
His rendition is...
When my baby...
Oh, yeah.
You know this song.
My baby smiles at me, I go to Rio.
My oh, mio.
De Janeiro. My oh, mio. I go
is he singing this, Peter Allen?
Yeah.
He is.
I love this song.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
All right, we might have to change.
Are you going
to
change to this?
What do you think of the other one, Mary Lou, that we've been playing?
Not much.
Thank you for not swearing. I thought you would swear.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for
Thanks,
calling.
Thanks, Mary Lou. How did we not remember that Peter Allen song? That was like a staple of late 70s, I'm going to say.
That's
right?
A great
Probably
song.
Late 70s.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac.
Oh,
not
no.
Peter. I got my Peters mixed up.
That happens. That happens.
Another idea, perhaps? This is Greg. Hi, Greg.
How are you doing today?
Greg, good. We're trying to find a better song, and it shouldn't be hard than Blame It on Rio to play for our Olympic segments. What do you suggest?
Richie Family, called Brazil.
Now, is that an updated version of the old song that we were just playing, the Xavier Cugat version, or is it? No?
I want to say when I heard that, I think maybe it is, but it's from the disco era.
Oh. Oh, a more discoized version.
Can I just ask who the Richie family is? Like Lionel Richie and some other Richies?
Yeah, they were a group in the 70s.
But
I don't know exactly.
I don't know if Lionel Richie is a member of the Richie family. I think that might
I
be.
Don't think so.
I think that's separate, I think.
I don't know any other Richies, but can we hear the song?
Guy Richie. I like the way they whispered it at the beginning. So as not to wake anyone. Brazil. Shh, Brazil. Yikes.
You like this, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
How can you not?
All right, well, we'll put this in the rotation. The three original members were not related of
no.
the Richie family. The group was a creation of Jacques Morali, who also formed the Village People.
Oh,
that makes a lot of sense.
What a legacy he left us.
Thank you, Greg. And I think we have time for one more. Hi, Pat.
Hello. A song by the group Chicago.
Never heard of them.
It's called Mongonucleosis.
Mongonucleosis.
It only has three words of lyrics, but it's a great song, and you can talk over it.
What's the tie-in, though, with Rio?
It's a Brazilian song.
Oh,
they had a member of the group from Brazil named Lauder Olivier or something.
Yeah.
Heavy on Brazilian music and congas.
I like the congas.
Can we find that song? Is that findable?
Vote for conga. Yeah. I'm looking.
We'll
Kevin almost has it.
We'll find
He'll
it.
He'll figure it out.
We'll get it.
All right.
It's spelled like mononucleosis, but with a G in there, mongonucleosis.
G or a D? Mondo or Mongo?
Mongo.
Mongo,
G,
like Steve McMichael? Yeah?
Yes.
Right. All right. We will find it and we will play it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay. Take care.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling this.
This is Chicago?
Oh, God. They had the horn section. They had everything. They were such great musicians.
No, but I'm just saying, like, did you ever hear this before? I don't know why I've never heard this before.
Because they didn't play it on the radio.
Oh, maybe.
All right, that's really great, but it doesn't really tie in. I mean, I know it's maybe Brazilian beat.
Yeah.
But it's like it doesn't say Rio. I mean, tell them what Steve Bertrand walked in to suggest. This is shameful.
Steve Bertrand came into the studio more excited than I've ever seen Steve Bertrand ever, ever, ever. And he said, how about something by REO Speedwagon? And we said, does REO Speedwagon have any songs that have Rio or Rio de Janeiro or Brazil? And he said, no, but their name, REO Speedwagon, REO, Rio. You know, he just had surgery recently, Wendy. We can't criticize.
I'll talk to him. Don't worry.
No, don't even. Okay. He'll be all right. He'll be okay.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, he just had surgery.
I like his creativity, though, don't
you? Yes. Yes. All right, we need to take a break. We've got news coming your way next and then more show. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Ryan, thanks. As we look out the windows here on Michigan Avenue, we see an older man and a boat, and he's marching animals two by two up a plank onto the boat.
It just happened. It just happened. I went out to let Kurt in, and I felt the first raindrop of this torrential downpour.
It's a monsoon outside. Wow. I'm not sure the Cubs are going to start on time today. I'm not positive that's going to happen. Kurt Wagner's here from TVshowpatrol.com. He stops by once a week, and we talk about the world of television. Kurt, before we get into the shows that you want to discuss, there's a very strange story about the star of Criminal Minds. This is Thomas Gibson. And if you don't know him from Criminal Minds, I knew him from Darma and Greg from a long time ago.
Greg.
He was Greg on Darma and Greg.
I liked that show.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad show. That was fun. Jenna Elfman was Darma. All right, so Thomas Gibson for the past several seasons has been on a show called Criminal Minds. And now he has been suspended from the show, and they're saying, the producers are saying, we don't think we want to have Thomas Gibson come back for a very strange reason. Do you know much about this at all?
Well, just that he apparently kicked or hit one of the writers.
Yeah, you're not supposed to kick or hit the writers.
Yeah, that's an instant out, I think.
Right.
Which, as I was just telling Bill when I first saw that, I thought I would too if I was given the script.
Oh, no.
If I was an actor
the writing
on the show
on
was given
Criminal
the script.
Isn't very strong, are you suggesting?
Yeah. Not a show for me.
But still, for a star to physically harm one of the writers, is that's bad business.
Right. Apparently, there was some creative difference.
Apparently.
Wow.
And, yes, I like to hit. I don't.
Yeah. And a disagreement. And it got physical. And Thomas Gibson told Variety that he regrets it occurred.
Do you remember the story that Danny Bonaducci told you and me years ago? His dad, Joseph Bonaducci, was a very accomplished writer for television. He wrote for The Dick Van Dyke Show and Andy Griffith, and he wrote for several shows over the years. And he had written a joke. He was writing on One Day at a Time, and he had written a joke for Bonnie Franklin, and it was the last joke of the episode. It was the capper at the very end of the episode. And every time they'd rehearse it, she'd say it wrong. And he'd say, if you don't say it this way, it's not going to get a laugh, and it's the last joke of the episode, and it'll just lay there. So she said, don't worry, when it comes to taping, I'll get it, I'll say it right. And they're in front of a live audience, and she says it wrong, and he went out, and Joseph Bonaducci slugged Bonnie Franklin. He punched Bonnie Franklin, and never worked again, by the way. That was his last job.
Well, yeah, you
really?
Can't do
you don't
that.
Punch Bonnie Franklin.
You don't punch anyone.
No.
Well, that was the 70s. You could punch people
back then. It was slightly more allowable.
You could
but
give
still...
them the old concrete galoshes wanted to.
That explains a lot about Danny, really, when I think about it.
Doesn't it?
I'm serious.
No,
so he
all-out
punched
him.
Her?
Yeah. He went in front of a live audience. He just walked
oh,
right out
word.
And decked her.
I don't remember that story.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. So what will happen? Will they allow Thomas Gibson to come back?
Well, it says he's suspended for one episode.
He gets a one-game suspension for hitting or kicking
for two
a writer.
Weeks, so I guess they are approaching it as if it were a sports team or something. But I think the New York Daily News is saying he could get fired, but you know that might be a little.
But people like him on the other. This aside,
I've never heard. I've never heard. You know, people saying he's a mean guy or
no,
anything.
No, until this.
Yeah,
until this. All right, what do we know about the new Star Trek? This could be. This has the potential to be very exciting.
Yes. CBS was at TCA this week, the Television Critics Association, and the executive producer of it, Brian Fuller, talked about what would be in it, like the different things that would be in it, but wouldn't say specifically like anything. He said it would be set 10 years before the events
the original
of
Star
the
Trek.
Original Star Trek.
Yeah.
And that it would have a female lead,
uh-huh.
but she would not be the captain. She would be a lieutenant commander.
But it would focus mostly on her.
But it would focus mostly on her. They've already named the ship, which is Discovery. What else did he talk about? Oh, it would, the first season would be 13 episodes and would focus on an event that is often mentioned in the Star Trek canon, but has never been shown.
I wonder what that would be.
Well, later on today, I'm posting a story with Mike. What I'm guessing it could be.
Can I take a guess?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Sometimes they refer to this test. Is it called the Kobayashi test?
This is another part. It's not the Romulan War.
Uh-huh.
It's not the Kobayashi Maru.
That's what I was thinking
test,
of. Is that
and
the
it's
Kobayashi
not
Maru?
Section 13.
Okay.
So he did say it's not those three things, but anything, you know.
Yeah. Anything but those.
Yeah.
Two.
So that, you know, there's probably a lot of people trying to figure that out. And I tried to figure it out yesterday, and I talked to a Star Trek expert, a guy who teaches at Syracuse
University. Oh, I know what it is. Spock's bar mitzvah? Is that what it is?
Maybe, but that's the other thing. None of the original characters.
Highly illogical, Bill Love.
In the first season. But he did say Spock's mother will show up.
Oh, Amanda.
And there will Amanda Grayson, and there will be robots.
There will be robots.
Yeah, and he said robots, not androids, which is interesting because
androids are the next generation of robots.
Well, the next generation had the android data. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Your mother has such pointy ears. There's going to be your mother
no,
jokes.
No, Amanda was a human.
She was human.
It was his father.
So they made
Sarek
jokes about her being human. The Vulcan
kids. Of course
kids
they did.
Made
yeah.
jokes about her not having pointed ears.
Yeah.
Your mom has such round ears.
Okay, there we go. I don't follow.
Her
the
ears
whole
are
lore.
So round.
That was that was a your mama
your
joke
mother, right.
in the future.
Right.
Your mom's ears are so round. She could blank blank blank. All right, so this new Star Trek will not be on regular broadcast television, though, right?
It'll premiere on CBS, regular CBS,
yeah.
And then all the rest of the episodes will be on CBS All Access, which is their new streaming service, which they're trying to get people to.
Does that mean we have to pay for that?
Yeah,
yeah, it does. Oh, all right,
$5.99, $4.99 a month, something like that. And eventually
they'll
have.
That.
You know, he said they still have not cast any of the characters, but they're supposedly going to start airing it in January.
They better hurry.
You better get busy.
Yeah, they have to definitely hurry.
And so CBS All Access will have, they're going to do another Big Brother this fall. They're going to do the Good Wife spinoff
yeah.
in spring of next year, supposedly.
Yeah.
Just on CBS All Access, and then this in January. So they're pumping up their original content.
There's also talk, since we're talking about the Star Trek series, there have been some whispers that there may be a Star Wars television series as well. Do you know anything
yeah,
about that?
Yeah, that's early on in the talks. But I think that
they may try
involved
that.
Would love it.
All right. That would be fun.
You know, the animated series Star Trek, or Star Wars Rebels
yeah.
is coming back this fall.
Oh,
They were just released a new trailer the other day.
It was supposed to happen last night during the Olympics.
Oh, the new Star...
For
Rogue One,
for
the new movie.
For the feature film.
Yeah, yes. they apparently showed it, but...
Yeah, we lost power.
My cable was out, too.
I know, we were commiserating on Twitter.
Yeah, I was so mad.
You can get it online, though. It's
well,
online.
Now, but yeah. at the time...
I didn't have internet last night, either. All my... Everything's
yeah,
out.
Yeah, router's down. Yeah. It's like... But, I mean, you can get it now. It's just when it was breaking.
You wanted to see it immediately.
Jimmy Mack wants to see it right away.
While it's fresh.
I know there is a like fruit fly in here, and I don't know why. It's like almost flying in your mouth several times.
You know, I'm going to stop bringing green peppers into the show like I do every day. There's no reason for that. All right. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments, you know how to reach us, 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. We're talking about television, and again, if you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. Kurt, Wendy was a little surprised than I was, and I think a lot of people were, at the big shakeup over at Saturday Night Live, three cast members' contracts not being renewed for the upcoming season.
Yeah.
One is understandable, I have to agree.
Which one? John
Rudnitsky. He had a great Dirty Dancing bit that he did during Weekend Update, but other than that, you don't really see... They didn't use him very much. I'm not blaming him, but...
Right. Well, he was not a... a full-time cast
right, he
member,
was just a featured player.
Yeah. But they, I think toward the end of last season, they made him a full-time cast member.
No, he was still featured player right up to the end. I remembered in the last episode.
Bill keeps track of that because he wanted to be on the show and auditioned and
I still have a chance, Wendy. I still have a shot.
You could.
you could. But Taryn Killam and Jay Farrow were the...
Both surprises that they wouldn't renew them for one more year.
It's so strange. I wonder. I can't imagine working at that place because it just seems like they. And the thing is that they never get told by their bosses.
Right.
I remember that
they read it in the press.
Yeah, they read it in the press, and I remember that. I had that book.
That's not cool.
The SNL Encyclopedia, whatever that book was, where they talked to a lot of the former players and all that stuff. And a lot of the folks...
It's called Life from New York, I think, right?
Yeah, Life from New York.
It's called Hold Me, I'm Scared. The lightning is and thunder is way too close. Oh.
But a lot of the former cast members who were let go found out the same way in the press.
Oh. Yeah.
And they're never told first. And apparently, like, was it Joe Piscopo or... No, Norm Macdonald... Like, on set, nobody would talk to him one time, and he said, okay, if I'm fired, please tell me. Let me know. And then somebody finally told him. But it was like a bigger NBC guy.
Even sometimes they'll take a cast member. Adam Sandler is a perfect example of this. Adam Sandler was extremely popular, doing well. People liked him. Everybody liked him. And he got let go, and he never, to this day, he says, I still don't know the reason they let me go. They just didn't want me anymore.
Taryn Killam, that's what he said in an Up Rocks interview this week, was like, I don't know what happened.
He was the best performer by far. They put him
great
in everything. He was just, he had so many funny characters.
Yeah.
And then I noticed this past season, you weren't seeing very much of him.
No,
he was working on a project, but...
Is that why they let him go?
He was working on a project, and he's directing something coming up, but apparently it was set up so that it wouldn't really interfere a lot with his work on SNL, so he still was confused by it. And Jay Farrell, all he's done is said Friends Forever are... You know, he like Instagrammed a picture of some of him and the other cast members.
With Vanessa Bayer.
But,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure he hasn't really spoken about it, but I doubt he was told either until he saw it.
But they both, I guess they'll both go on to bigger and better things. They're both very, very talented. Jay Farrow was here a month ago. He was so much fun.
Well, and isn't he getting ready for a big tour, a big comedy tour?
Yeah, he's in the middle of it now.
Thing? Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Taryn Killam's already got he's already working on something, directing something. So it's not like they're not going to land on their feet or anything.
Don't feel bad for them.
But it's, you know, there was all that brouhaha about the whole thing with, what's her face, daytime talk show.
Dinah Shore?
No.
Ellen.
I'm blanking on her name. The one where he moved to Good Morning America, or he moved to her co-host moved to.
I'm really good at charades, but
Today
I'm
Show.
Kelly Ripa.
Right. Kelly Ripa.
And Michael Strahan.
Yeah, I mean, there was all the brouhaha about that she should have been told he was leaving. Well,
right.
How about telling the person you're firing that you're firing
that
them?
They're being let go?
I mean, this seems like a more egregious. Thing.
Egregious used to work with Kelly Ripa. Egregious Philbin.
I loved him. I miss him so much.
Funny that I
angry
remembered that name and not hers.
All right. What about CBS? They're getting some flack because for some reason, as they roll out more and more shows that are coming out in the fall, everybody on it is white.
Yeah. Well, they've been, they've always been sort of notorious for not having a lot of diversity in their shows. Mm-hmm. And there was a big stink during the pilot process early in the spring that the one show that had that featured a female lead that they were considering, they didn't pick up. And I think some executive memos were released that said, you know, that sort of said, we don't want a female lead in a role or no, that show skews too feminine, but it was the Nancy Drew thing.
Really?
Of course it skews feminine.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
So they've always sort of had this knock on them, and now for the six new shows they have this fall, those six shows have six male leads.
Every one of the shows, the new shows on CBS
leads,
has a white guy.
So
lead.
At TCA this week, the journalists took them to task for that, and they sort of tried to spin it and say, you know, well, we have a lot of supporting characters who are minorities, and we do this other, you know, we have this little incubator for writers and stuff like that, but it's not showing up in there.
The most diverse network would probably be either ABC or Fox, right? ABC would have to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other three do really well. I think ABC might be able to claim that, though. But
because they have all those sitcoms where they have a Jewish family, well, a black family, whole, or an Asian family.
Right. The whole story, the whole family is that. And it's not just plopping in a character, minority character, into some other story, you know, just to have a minority character, you know.
Yeah.
The whole story revolves around that.
Bring back Mr. T and Tina. Yeah. I want to see that come back. Yeah. I want that back. All right, Kurt, thank you. We appreciate you being here. It's Kurt Wagner. Visit his website, tvshowpatrol.com.
Netflix, The Get Down starts today.
What is The Get Down? What is
it? It is Baz Luhrmann did it, and it's about the birth of hip-hop in the 1970s, in the Bronx in 1970s. And it's kind of a big old mess, like many of his movies are.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a beautiful mess.
Is it really?
Yeah. There's some really cool moments in it, and there's some really cool stuff. It's really this sort of... Under all the other stuff going on, it's just like the story about these underdogs trying to make their way.
And where is this show?
Netflix.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
Good. And they show the
whole... first half of the season is out now, and the second half will be out later.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Good. Very good. That's Kurt Wagner, everybody. Again, tvshowpatrol.com. Stick around. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN, and the Olympics are raging in Rio, and we have a gold medalist, a world champion, an Olympian, Paralympic wheelchair racer, Josh George, in the studio with us. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it
going? So nice to meet you. So
great
nice
meeting
to meet
both
you.
Of you as well.
With the Paralympics just 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away, 2 or 3 weeks away?
3 weeks from
three
opening
weeks.
Ceremonies.
Okay. So you know you're going, you know the training that's been involved so far, you know what's at stake here. Are there butterflies in your stomach a little bit or not? Are you okay?
You know what? No butterflies yet, just more excitement right now. I think as a Paralympian, our games start a couple of weeks after the Olympics end, but seeing the opening ceremonies of the Olympics always makes it real.
Yeah.
Everything's more real. Everything's more intense from that moment on. So the intensity is definitely picked up. The excitement is definitely picked up. But you know what? The butterflies, I'm keeping them at bay for the time being.
Congrats. I don't know that I could do that. So good for
they'll,
you.
They'll kick in soon enough, but not yet.
And speaking of the opening ceremonies, there was an ad that was shown, which features you in your, excuse me, but your kick-ass racing wheelchair.
Absolutely.
I got to tell you, it's an amazing ad. We can put a link on our Facebook page. But now BMW is behind it. It's a BMW ad. And at first, Bill and I were wondering what the connection was.
Right.
How does this sell a car? But you actually worked with them to design and produce the racing wheelchair that they put together.
Correct. This is a project that is 2 years in the making. Really, for the past year and a half, we've been working hard with some of the top engineers at BMW Design Works, to develop a state-of-the-art racing chair for some of the U.S. Paralympians to use. And, you know, it's been an amazing experience right from the beginning. I went in a room with them. They had a giant whiteboard, and they're like, okay, give us your dream list of what a racing chair would entail. And everything they wrote down, they're like, I think we could do that. It was the most amazing experience that I had ever been a part of. And, you know, it's just the beginning. We have a great chair right now. We've really developed something amazing in a year and a half, and it's only going to get better from here on out.
So once that initial thing happens, Josh, where they ask you about your dream list, what is the ongoing process? Is it engineers just continuously altering and crafting this chair, and then you testing it out and saying, I need a little more of this, a little less of that? What goes on next?
Absolutely. I mean, they had some weekly meetings with my coach, who is a wheelchair racer himself and one of the top coaches in the world. So they would just bounce ideas back and forth. And the engineers would go and do their thing. They'd build a prototype. They'd bring us out. We'd test the prototype, give them our feedback, and just sort of this back and forth action. And now, you know, we're using the first generation of the chair, and the feedback, engineers are constantly trying to improve things, which is really cool. And so even with this first generation of the chair out and available for us to use and to race with, we're still going back and forth. Okay, this is step one. Where can we go from here? And it's just, it's amazing.
Now, you are no stranger to a bunch of sports. You've been in a wheelchair since you were, what, 4 years old?
Since I was 4 years old. I had an accident when I was four, and I've been in a chair ever since, yeah.
All right, and you've tried all different kinds of sports, according to your bio. This amazes me. Basketball, track, field, archery, table tennis.
Yeah,
swimming.
I love table tennis.
So does he. You guys
should play. Oh, just say one anytime
Absolutely.
You want. That would be a blast.
You know, fantastic. I play it just for fun, and it's like click, click. I watch him play, and it's like just this.
He's wailing on the ball.
You
huh?
guys should really have a little competition there.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, spin is.
I've wanted to go to spin.
Go.
Always wanted
all right,
to.
We'll figure out a time.
Awesome.
I'd love to.
All right,
perfect.
So you've tried all these sports. You've done swimming, mm-hmm. and why have you focused now on the wheelchair races? This is just where you feel at home.
Yeah, I've always liked moving fast, and I've always liked pushing myself to maximize my potential, and I really found that avenue to be able to do that in wheelchair racing more so than any of the other sports that I've tried. From the beginning, it really hooked me. I remember when I was in rehab as a little kid, I was always racing through the halls, just in my everyday wheelchair, I was racing up and down the halls. And then when I finally got a chair that was built to go fast, it was super exciting. And then the excitement has grown since then. I feel like I love racing and love pushing my chair more now than I have my entire life, and it's just amazing. You know, I've been pushing for 24 years, I guess, since the first wow. time that I tried it, and I'm loving it more now than ever before.
There are some people that, in a similar situation to yours, Josh, would not have taken the path that you've taken. There are people that would have just said,
right.
I can't do this. I give up. How are you not one of those people? I'm thrilled that you're not, but mm-hmm. what made you decide, I'm not just going to lay back, I'm gonna strive for greatness?
You know what, I wish I could actually take more credit for it, but it was really my parents.
Yeah.
from day one, day one after the accident, they treated me the same way as if the accident had never occurred. They focused on what I was able to do and not what I couldn't do anymore. They focused on the fact that, you know, I fell out of a building. That's how I'm in a chair, and I managed to fall 12 stories without hitting my head, which is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I survived. I didn't hit my head. My upper body still was fully functional. And so that's from the very beginning, my parents focused on that, and they made sure that I was able to do everything that I would have been able to do anyway. And so really it was the ideas that they imbued on me from a very young age, that helped me get to where I am now. And, I really, from my standpoint, I didn't have a choice. I couldn't choose to quit or to give up or to live differently, because my parents wouldn't have allowed it. And that was incredible.
What a great set of parents, because, you know, and I'm sure you come across this walking down the street. Sometimes we who aren't in a wheelchair don't know, like, do we treat you with sympathy? What do we do?
Right.
But your parents just said, hey,
just
you're
a
an able-bodied and minded man. We're going to push you forward. And did this, obviously, this help to launch your Maximize Your Potential campaign?
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's something, maximizing your potential has sort of been a life philosophy of mine for a while, and it's been a bigger focus of mine for the past few years. Just, you know, as I get older, you start thinking a little bit more deeper about what you're
Doesn't
doing in life.
Kind of,
I know.
It's so easy being a kid.
Exactly. When you're a kid, you just go through things. You don't think about it. You just do. But one of the beautiful things, though, about thinking a bit deeper about what you do is you find different values in it that you didn't realize, you might not have realized were there at the beginning. And, you know, for me, I really realized one of the biggest reasons why I love doing what I'm doing is because, every day I get to go out and I get to see how I'm pushing my body further and further and trying to reach that pinnacle, that potential that all of us have. And I'm every day I try to maximize my potential. And it's, you know, it's amazing. I really believe that creativity or that limitation breeds creativity. And so when you look, all of us have limitations in our lives, no matter whether you have a disability or not, everyone has some limitations. And it's all a matter of approaching those limitations in a creative way to maximize your output, to maximize what you can get out of your situation. And it's, you know, it's a fun problem to try to solve. Sometimes it can be frustrating, but, you know, it's been remarkably rewarding as well.
And you're organizing this rally for fellow Paralympians in Champaign, Illinois. When is this happening? What are all the details on that?
So this Sunday, we're hosting an event in Champaign called The Roll to Rio. Champaign is a very unique community in the Paralympic world. We actually are sending 17 Paralympians in four different sports to Rio, which is unbelievable. It has the University of Illinois is one of the grandfathers of wheelchair sports in the country, one of the first programs in the country, really a world leader in accessibility. And
the reason you moved here, by the way, right?
It is. I was recruited to play. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was recruited to play wheelchair basketball at the University of Illinois. So I moved from Virginia, from the DC area out here to go to school. My wheelchair racing coach is still in Champaign. He's one of the top coaches in the world. And that's why I'm living and training there now. That's why many of us are living and training there. So the Roll to Rio Sunday afternoon is just our opportunity to invite the community out, to meet the Paralympians, to interact with the Paralympians, see some of the medals that we've won in the past, and sort of celebrate the opportunity to win more medals in a few weeks' time. So it's going to be a fun event, great way to spend your Sunday afternoon.
You are such an inspiration. We're going to take a quick break. If you'd like to find out all the details about the Roll to Rio and this whole rally that's going on in Champaign, your website, joshgeorgeracing.com?
Correct.
All right, we're going to come back and talk to you about going to Rio, because that's coming up in a couple few weeks.
Absolutely.
It's Josh George. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
What if we both went a little bit crazy? Blame it on Rio.
What if our hearts got a little bit hazy? Blame it on Rio.
What if we acted like fools, broke a few rules?
Bill, I think at this point in our careers, we are just trying to find an excuse to play this lame song.
Yeah, it's sad but true, isn't it? It's awful.
Josh George is in the studio with us, Paralympic wheelchair racer. He's heading up a rally for fellow Paralympians in Champaign this Sunday, the Roll to Rio. You can find out all the details, joshgeorgeracing.com. You will be heading to Rio in 3 weeks, you said?
In 3 weeks, well, opening ceremonies are in 3 weeks. We're actually leaving in a couple of weeks to go through team processing in Houston, and then we'll get to the village about a week before it all begins.
I have to ask you, we're all curious. You've heard all the rumors. You've seen the water go from blue to green. I know you're not going to be participating in any swimming events, but are you a little freaked out about all the scares involving Olympic Village in Rio?
You know what? I have so many other things to worry about. I haven't worried at all about that. I have some friends that live in Rio, and I've been to Rio a couple of times, and you know, I've been informed that it's basically the same old Rio. You know, there's a lot of people coming into the city. There's a lot more worries and a lot more security going around. But they said, you know what? It's the same old Rio. The people are the same. Happy, excited that everyone's coming in, and you know, it's going to be a good time. And so far, the Olympics have gone off without a hitch.
And look at all the gold the USA's getting.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Like, how can you not watch the performances so far and not be motivated and amped up to get there yourself? It's incredible.
A little while ago, when talking about your competing in the event, you said, one of the reasons I love it is ... I've had friends who have competed in various events, and they say what happens is you develop a love-hate relationship with the sport. That as much as you love the sport, there are days where you just say to yourself, I can't believe I'm devoting my life to training at this level.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You feel that sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, well, sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. I mean, I lead a quasi-nomadic lifestyle just based on the amount that I travel for racing and, you know, hunting down good weather. So I live in Champaign. Champaign is miserable in the winter.
Yeah.
And so I've begun spending half my year basically hunting warm weather. I live in Australia, or I go other places, to train in warm weather. And, you know, sometimes I think, oh, if I led a quote unquote normal life, you know, maybe I'd, at, you know, 32 years old, maybe I'd own a home by now, but I'm, you know, still paying rent. But at the end of the day, I absolutely love what I'm doing, and I am so excited that I'm still able to do what I'm doing, and that the end is not near. You know, at least in my forecast.
Anyway.
So.
Good.
And you have a degree from U of I?
I do. I majored in news editorial journalism, actually.
This so, all wow, goes together.
Great.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fantastic.
So it's, you know, it's cool. I haven't done much with it yet, but, I'm starting to do a bit more writing. I keep a blog on my website, joshgeorgeracing.com.
Yeah.
I do some guest blogs for other websites. And so I'm, you know, writing is a skill just like racing. And, I'm a little out of practice, but I think I'm starting to get it back.
Yeah. Good.
We're That's talking excellent. To a world record holder for what, the 800 meter.
The 800 race. On the track, yeah, the 800, one of the most
world
brutal
record.
Races.
World record. I mean, I can't even. This is so cool.
I'm incredibly excited about that one. I have an awkward history with records. I've actually broken a lot in my career, and none of them have lasted.
Oh.
So I think this is my longest. This record is a year and a couple of months old, and it's my longest standing record. I remember in Athens, my very first race as a Paralympian ever, I broke the Paralympic record my first time on the track in the 400 meters. 10 minutes later, it was broken.
Oh, no. When you're breaking a record, when you're in the middle of that, because a lot yep. of times with these races, it's by 1/100th or 1/10,000th of a second. It's so
it's,
precise.
Yeah.
Can you feel it when it's that close? Can you feel like, I think I'm on pace to break a record? Do you know it?
You have a sense.
Yeah.
You know you're going fast. When I broke that record, I knew I was going really fast and I was just hanging on to the end. You're never quite sure. I think I broke the record by about half a second and my internal clock is not that good, not that precise. So I knew I was close. I knew I had a shot at it, but mm-hmm. it wasn't until afterwards when my coach came up to me and was like, you know what time you just ran? And that was when it
That's
all clicked.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You are really an amazing man and a young man. How old are you?
I am 32.
All right, 32. You've got your life in front of you, and you're doing a great job with it. If you'd like to meet Josh George, he's going to be at this rally for Paralympians in Champaign. It's happening Sunday. The Roll to Rio. Where is this happening? At U of I?
It's in downtown Champaign.
Okay.
So it's going to start in Westside Park, and then it ends at a concert venue in downtown called The Accord.
And you can get all the information at joshgeorgeracing.com. You're on Instagram and Twitter at JSGeorge and on Facebook as
and
well.
On Facebook.
Where do Correct. You keep your gold medal?
on the bottom shelf of a bookshelf.
Do
honestly.
You?
Yeah.
I'd wear it. I would have it made into a hat.
That is the difference between you and Josh.
I would have a giant neon arrow pointing at it on my hat. Yep, all the time.
You guys were really adorable off the air discussing your tennis
we're
and
gonna play.
Table tennis. You should do that.
Play.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We got it scheduled.
You're an amazing man, Josh George. You're an inspiration to many, and good luck at the Olympics.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
We hope you win. We really do. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
I would imagine you too. A quick break. News is next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. It's part two of our Friday extravaganza. Do you want to jump in? You can. 312-981-7200. That's the phone line. That's the text line.
Boy, you're using the word extravaganza very loosely.
I think I am.
Very loosely.
It's just the biggest word I could think of to describe the show. Show doesn't sound like, if you say show, you go, oh, okay, well, everyone has a show. But if you say extravaganza, it leads people to believe something exciting will happen. It won't, but you can believe what you want to believe. It's a free country.
Something exciting happened to a Chicago area teen. He had a near deadly encounter with a shark.
Oh, I know this story. This is crazy.
I'm telling you, when the Snyder family was taking a family vacation one summer, we were going to drive to Cape Cod. This
mm-hmm.
was the year that Jaws came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the year.
1975, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's probably right on target.
Yeah.
And we never made it because we got hit by a semi and our car was totaled. I know.
I don't think I've known anyone ever in
know.
My life who every time they try to take a vacation, whether it's across the country to Cape Cod or just to, like, you know, Itasca, something horrible happens to your family.
No one was hurt. I had a concussion. That was the extent of it. We were in our AMC Hornet and I was laying in the back. Because, you know, kids like to do that sometimes when you have a back seat to yourself, you would lay flat.
Sure, why not?
And the hatchback part folded over me. The luggage hit me in the head. Our car was totaled.
Oh.
But we, you know, we were traveling with my aunt, who was in another car. You know, aunt.
Your aunt that you call aunt. Aunt? Yeah.
And so they we smashed into the car and went home, and needless to say, never made it to Cape Cod. But
so you had just left.
Oh yeah, we were still
just
in Illinois.
Few minutes into the trip.
Maybe a little longer
a
than
little
that.
Longer?
But yeah. And so I never made it to Cape Cod. I've never been to the East Coast. I'm a little afraid to go there, not because of getting in an accident, but because of sharks.
Yeah, there's sharks there.
I'm afraid of sharks. It turns out I'm afraid of everything. But Johnny Stock of Homer Glen was snorkeling off the coast of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and I have been in the Pacific, mm-hmm. and I have been in the Caribbean islands, and I'm not really afraid of sharks there because I don't go out very far.
But a shark could, I mean, it's freakish, but every once in a while they do come in to the more shallow waters. So even though you think, well, I'm in a safe area here, the shark will from time to time come in closer.
And you know, at the resorts, they don't let you lay in a raft on the ocean because if you fall asleep with a drink in your hand, you're going to drift out.
You'll be out to sea. Yep.
Where'd she go?
Yep.
Hope she had fun.
Yep.
So this kid was snorkeling, 15 years old, off the coast of the Bahamas. His family was with him, and a shark attacked him. And, I mean, we've gone through this with bears. A black bear, do you run away? A brown bear, do you attack it? We get confused. So I am all for that little laminated card that you have suggested. When you encounter a wild animal, what do you do?
You look up the name of the animal that's near
quickly.
You.
Quickly.
And then it'll say just simply... play dead or be the more dominant of the two, because there's no way to keep track. But with a shark...
Yeah, what would you do?
Well...
I know you know what this kid did, but seriously, before screaming...
This is what experts always say to do if a shark is about to attack you. They say to punch it in that front area, like the nose area of the shark. But I would imagine, I've not been in that situation, but I would think that when all that is happening... You're probably not thinking, it's time for me to punch the shark.
I bet you are going to do that, though, because if something grabs hold of your calf, what are you going to do? You're going to hit at it.
Fight
to
get away.
Right.
Right. Do anything you can to get away. But if you're just if you're swimming and you're not thinking about it, and then you turn and you're coming head to head with a shark, you would hear the music.
Thankfully.
You always hear the music. But then there's the shark and there's you. So
so you just wind up and punch the thing?
Well, you know what it's like when you're driving your car, and they say if you're in the winter, there's ice on the road, they say you want to steer toward the skid.
Right.
Like common sense goes, no, if I'm skidding, I should try to get out of that. I should try to steer away from that. It's the same thing with the shark on you. I would focus all my attention on creating a diversion so that the shark.
Hey, look,
is not...
there's Wendy.
Look.
That would be your diversion.
Wendy's
That's always
slow
your
and so tasty. I would yell. I'd be yelling stuff like that to the shark.
I am always your diversion.
Phil Vitel of the Tribune says 4 stars. Can't get a better meal than Wendy Snyder. I'd be holding up review cards and stuff.
All right. Well, this is what Johnny Stock of Homer Glen did. He kicked its nose, and he said the shark attacked him. I kicked its nose, and it went up to get me again, and then it let go and swam away.
Oh man.
Johnny's father, John Stock. Said his wife started to scream hysterically, hey, there's a shark, there's a shark. I saw a big gray head about a foot wide, and it was on my leg tearing through it, said Johnny.
Oh, man.
Who will soon begin his sophomore year in Lockport. The teen's horrified mother jumped into action. The father said, my wife got Jacob and is trying to push him to the boat to get
Who's
out.
Jacob?
I don't know. It must be his brother.
I guess so.
The name just appeared.
One of the kids from Twilight?
Boy,
I think that's the wolf boy from Twilight.
The teen's horrified.
That's what I'd do. I'd get a wolf boy. Hey, wolf boy, my son's being attacked by a shark. Help him. Full moon. Woo, go get him.
Oh, it must be his brother. My wife has got Jacob and is trying to push him to the boat to get out of the water because now there's blood spilled everywhere. John saw the extent of his son's injury once the teen started swimming toward the boat. They pull him out, and when I see his leg, says the dad, my heart is up here,
he said.
I start swimming as fast as I can to the boat. Doctors were forced to reconstruct his calf muscle because a large chunk of it was missing.
Ugh, that's awful.
I thought it was bone, Johnny said. I thought my whole leg was almost gone, but it turns out it wasn't.
It could have been so
easily. Oh, my God, absolutely. And Johnny wants to thank the doctor who saved his leg. because without him, I wouldn't have one. And despite his terrifying encounter, Johnny says he remains a fan of sharks. Quote,
he's still a fan?
I don't blame the shark at all. I still like him. I'm not afraid of him.
I wouldn't even go to any San Jose Sharks games. Like when they came to play the Blackhawks, I'd go, I've already had my run-in. I'm done.
I wouldn't go swimming again.
No.
I mean, after you've lived through this horrifying ordeal.
I know.
Only swimming pools from now on.
Even then, I'd be leery.
Poor kid.
Oh, but how about having the wherewithal? But I guess, I mean, you're doing everything you can to fight and get out of that situation. But then a lot of people would just freeze up. You'd have shock. But he just said, no, I'm not going to let this go easy. He started kicking the shark. He's lucky.
He's probably in shock now. That's why he says likes sharks. Because really, what's to
like? I would
like?
Not like a shark after that.
Mm-mm.
Uh-uh. All right. We need to take a break. We'll come back and we have more show. If you want to be a part of it, 312-981-7200 gets that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I'm Bill Leff. That's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. You can jump in at 312-981-7200. Can I quickly commend you? You need to be commended for something. Can I throw a commendation toward you?
Boy, if you're going to say something nice about me, I want to hear it.
I am going to say something nice. This is time for me to say something very nice about you.
It's going
to
be so backhanded, isn't it?
It is not.
Yeah, right, be prepared.
Okay. Get this on tape. Somebody tape this. Is there a way to tape this? You are a Chicago White Sox fan, and you have been since birth. And last year, you were very kind when the Cubs were in the playoffs. You wanted them to win, and I know that takes a lot for you or any White Sox fan to want the Cubs to win. Says a lot. Well, they're on an unbelievable roll right now. They can do no wrong. They've won 10 straight games, and they're just doing everything and they can right. It's amazing. And you've said each of the last 3 days, boy, they really are good. They really just are playing so good. And that's not, I don't know what's going on, but I like it.
All hope is lost for the South Side this year, okay?
You're right.
So I want to see the Cubs fans be happy. I want everybody to be happy. There's so much fighting going on right now, Bill, mm-hmm. that I don't want Cubs fans and Sox fans to fight anymore.
That I think that's admirable.
I don't 100% mean it, but your team is doing...
What percent mean it
to
you?
Well, I just... You have a chance this year. I hope it goes well.
They're favorites, like every single website, every single Las Vegas book, you know, the places that take sport bets. There's not a single place that doesn't have the Cubs as the favorite to win the World Series, and that's so strange to look at. It's so foreign to see that. Can I throw a weird stat number at you?
Stat me, bro.
All right. All right. As of now, the Cubs have scored 568 runs this season so far while allowing 379. That's a difference of 189 runs. They have scored 189 runs more than they've given up. Now you say to yourself, oh, that's all well and good. Is that a big deal? In the American League, the best team is the Texas Rangers. They have the best winning percentage in the American League. They have scored 5 more runs than they have given up. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty wild.
Like for a team, if they keep up at this pace, they will have outscored their opponents by quite a bit more than 200 runs. That's almost impossible. It's almost unheard of.
But that doesn't guarantee the World Series.
No,
win.
You still have
Fortunately, when the season's over, it starts at zero again, and postseason is a different beast.
You start new. Although, like before the season started, the only team that I was a little bit afraid of on the National League side were the Mets, and they're kind of imploding right now. They're just above 500. They're not a factor. I think the Nationals are kind of a scary team in the National League. But other than that,
The Dodgers. You never know about those Giants. Those San Francisco Giants.
I guess
they got a pitcher or two on there that.
Scary. They're pretty tough. I'll give you that.
All right, Nancy. Bill paid me a compliment, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be, but you've noticed this as well, haven't you?
I have, and you can record that as well. Mm. But I also like what you said about the Cubs and the Sox fans not fighting. Years ago, when the Sox won the World Series,
2005.
I believe that Cub fans were genuinely happy for you.
I don't believe that.
Genuine. Oh my God! Everybody I know was very, very. Now I'm a rabid Cub fan.
Yeah.
I actually wore the World Series ring.
Wow.
I thought I was going to melt like the witch from the Wizard of Oz. But let me tell you, I was genuinely happy. I see Sox fans are not as happy as for the Cubs, but I think it'll happen. I really do.
Can I post an idea as to why that could be? I think for most White Sox fans, they're so tired of seeing the Cubs get preferential treatment.
That is honestly what it is.
It is, isn't it?
Okay. You know why? Because you used to record them on WGN. WGN didn't
Take care of all the newspapers in town. I know the Tribune, but seriously, it's been, even when the White Sox won the World Series, they got the front page, but the next day it was the Cubs something else. I mean, we're always getting the second shrift. Is it shrift?
Short shrifted? Short shrifted, yeah.
Yep.
I hate to hear you say that, Wendy, because I really believe that Cubs fans were genuinely happy. And the fact that they are more noticed, I don't believe it comes from the Cubs themselves. I think it comes from the fans. There are just a lot of Cub fans. At every game, you see loads of Cub fans in the stands.
Who aren't paying attention to the game.
Yes, they are.
Nancy, you're bringing me to the other side. Now I'm getting mean again.
Yeah, really. No, I mean, you could be in Anaheim, you could be anywhere, and you see Cub fans in the stands enjoying the game. I think that we are a happy group of people. We really are.
I think some of that has to do with the fact that the Cubs games were broadcast nationwide, you know.
That's right.
In the daytime, and where so, people, you know, right? So people
all
got
the attention.
To see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot
of
factors.
We didn't cause this. I mean, it was just, you know.
No, I'm not blaming you. But, you know, Nancy, I hope your team does well. We lost our power last night, and I posted something on Facebook, and my friend Donna Zalig, who I played basketball with in high school, said, I hear you, Snides. I'm dying here, drinking this red wine and no Cubbies. And I put, I would normally say you're not missing anything by not watching a Cubs game, but the Cubs are doing so well, my team not so much. And that's why I want to see you guys do well, whatever.
So
you know,
nice.
As long as we beat St. Louis, I can't stand it. As long as we beat St. Louis, it's a good day. I actually got to sing the national anthem.
What was that like? Was that a blast?
Oh, it was amazing.
Give us a little sample, will you?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light. How's it?
Keep going.
Can you do a little bit more?
What so proudly we hail. At the dawn, oh dear my gosh.
Twilight's last gleaming,
whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bars bursting in air. You have your hands across your heart?
Yes.
Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
That was so gorgeous.
Wow.
Listen, I hope your Cubs kick some royal ass and go all the way because you, Nancy, have made our day.
That was excellent, Nancy. That was so good.
Thank you.
I love her.
She's like, you know,
I sang the national anthem. Oh, could you sing a little bit? No. Oh, say, right. You know, you just went right into it.
Hey, Nancy, could you try? Here's a song. Ken, I don't know if you're ready for this, but could you try singing this song for us? A little bit of this. We'd like to hear that.
I don't know what that is.
Nah, I don't know what that is either. That's crazy. Well, thank you so much, Nancy, and we'll be back with the starting lineups in just a minute.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a good
week. Wait, hang on. Let's give her a Lou Malnati's pizza, because that was pretty fantastic.
That was beautiful.
We can sing for pizza now?
Yeah, people sing for pizza now.
Don't make me sing. That's kind of what it was. It was like, oh, well, I once sang the national anthem. Oh, really? Could you sing? No, don't make me.
She just belted it out.
While she was singing that, Team USA women's soccer scored to break a tie, but it got called back because it was offside.
So I
couldn't break in. Otherwise, I was going to say, that's a lot of good vibes. We need to keep her, keep singing.
Right.
All right. Well, Nancy, we'll set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com.
Excellent. All right. We'll take a quick break. Ryan has the news. And then we're going to find out who is the It Girl. What does that mean? Find out in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Who's that lady? Who's that lady? Beautiful lady. Who's that lady?
Sexy lady.
Yes.
Who's that lady?
That lady's Wendy Snyder. I'm Bill F. It's WGN. We're through in 298-1-7200. You've heard that phrase before, right? An It Girl. Do you know what that means? And if somebody is an It Girl, and you've been called this many times, people have said Wendy Snyder is one of those It Girls. What does that mean?
Popular that moment.
Yes.
Very popular now.
Yes. That's it exactly.
Kind of like the, remember that Charlie song?
There's a fragrance that's here today and they call it Charlie. That one?
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know why.
A fragrance that speaks your...
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something
way,
that's really
it,
wow.
Charlie.
It's really now.
Kind of free, kind of wow,
yeah,
Charlie.
Yeah, that's kind of It Girl.
The Urban Dictionary says...
Very good, by the way.
You.
Who's the lady here?
Thank you. It says, the It Girl is the girl that everyone, in all caps, wants to be.
I'll be the judge of that.
An It Girl is slang for a beautiful, stylish young woman who possesses sex appeal without flaunting her sexuality. That's where a lot of people take you out of the conversation.
No,
right,
I got one out of the four.
But now, it's one thing to be an It Girl, but what does it mean to be the It Girl? Cosmopolitan says that every year since 1960, and actually it dates back further than that because I know it'll seem like I'm showing off, forgive me, but the original It Girl was a woman named Clara Bow back in the 20s into the 1930s. She was like the first one that achieved the It Girl status, Clara Bow. Did you ever hear of her?
B-E-A-U?
No, B-O-W. Clara Bow. She did silent films. So Cosmo said, let's go year by year and discover who every year's It Girl was. On some of these, you can't help but agree, but on a couple of these, you'll scratch your head and go, I don't think I know who that is.
I know Jennifer Aniston has been at once.
I think she has been. There's nobody on here that's repeated because it's kind of flavor of the day. But even though Jennifer Aniston...
It's more
Aniston,
than a day, though.
It's a year.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be a year,
flavor
right?
of the year.
Flavor of the year. In 1960, for instance, Janet Leigh was Hollywood's It Girl, mostly because of Psycho. And because she, I think that was, at that point, was she already with Tony Curtis in 1960? Probably. So
don't
she
ask questions you don't know the answer
I know,
to.
I know.
Who
so
told
she
you that?
Had, I don't know. So she had Psycho going for her, and I think she was already with Tony Curtis. I could be wrong. But Janet Leigh would have been the first It Girl from 1960 on. In 1961, you had Audrey Hepburn. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, these are just gorgeous.
Timeless, classic beauty, Audrey Hepburn. That was right around the time she did Breakfast at Tiffany's, and she had already done a couple of other hit movies. Everybody knew who she was. Everybody loved her. Now, in 1962, this is an interesting choice for the It Girl, Rita Moreno.
Because of West Side Story, huh?
Because of West Side Story.
Why not Natalie Wood?
I don't think Natalie Wood made the It Girl list.
Which is a travesty.
Travesty.
She and Grace Kelly, to me...
It Girl Hall of Fame, both of those.
Honest to God.
I agree with
two
you.
Two of the most beautiful women ever to walk this planet.
Now, Rita Moreno, also a lovely woman.
Very pretty.
Back then and still today...
Gorgeous.
Boy, is she pretty.
Very talented.
She's one of a handful of people who have won an Oscar, an Emmy, a Tony... And the Cy Young Award. Did you know that?
No,
very few
I
people
didn't.
Have won those four awards. In 1963, no one could argue with this, Elizabeth Taylor.
Absolutely.
The movie Cleopatra came out. The budget for Cleopatra, by the way, shocked moviegoers and Hollywood, coming in at $1 million.
And what year was this?
1963.
Holy moly.
A movie with $1 million budget. People were shocked.
That is a lot of money back then.
Back then, I guess it was. So then you go from Elizabeth Taylor in 1963 to 1964, Julie Andrews was Hollywood's It Girl.
For what reason?
Mary Poppins. But that's kind of extreme, right? To go from Elizabeth Taylor to Julie Andrews.
Mm.
I like the choice of 1965, Elizabeth Montgomery.
Just adorable.
Wasn't she?
That's Samantha Stevens.
Every once in a while, like on MeTV, I'll see like a little snippet of the show. And, you know, now when you see Bewitched, you kind of go, okay, what was I thinking when I was watching Bewitched? But then you realize she was just beautiful.
She really was gorgeous.
And she was married to the producer of the show at the time. William Asher, I think, is his name, who was, I think, twice her age, give or take a year or two.
Well, it got her a good gig.
Yeah, I guess.
Although, you know, you get annoyed when you have, and I often think of King of Queens and the Honeymooners. You get this big guy who's got this hot wife.
Yes.
That's when it started, because Dick York, really, he was out over his skis. Even Dick Sargent was, too.
I think so, too.
I mean, she was just the epitome of beauty.
Perfect.
And she was a good witch.
Right. And she could wiggle her nose, and all of a sudden you'd have a cranberry tree in your living room.
Cutest little thing on earth, wasn't it, when she wiggled her?
Loved it. Loved it. 1966, Wendy, Hollywood's It Girl was Diana Ross.
Yeah,
because the Supremes were in their heyday. Everybody loved Diana Ross. Then in 1967, Aretha Franklin.
Good for her.
Was Hollywood's It Girl. That's when Respect topped the charts, 1967.
See, they're doing the It Girl, though, in a different way. What was the, at the beginning, it was like this beautiful, sexy
movie star types, and then it went to more TV and music, which is fine.
How does this differ from, like, Time Person of the Year? Because it's just whatever was popular then made them the It Girl. You think Aretha Franklin was really an It Girl where women tried to dress like her and be like her?
See, I don't. But 1967 is interesting because they had co-It Girls. Two women had to share that trophy, Aretha Franklin and Faye Dunaway, because the movie Bonnie and Clyde had come out. Now, up until Bonnie and Clyde, Faye Dunaway wasn't really a household name. She was kind of a straggler in Hollywood, but all of a sudden, she played, you know, Bonnie, obviously, and Bonnie Barrow, and all of a sudden,
she was beautiful, yeah, too. And I'm not saying Aretha Franklin isn't beautiful, trust me.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's like kind of a stylish thing that you're trying to recreate.
Sure.
No one could really recreate the style that Aretha had.
I don't think, yeah.
You know, she's one of a kind.
Yeah.
That's why,
yeah,
I think that's why there was a co-It Girl.
Yeah, because one woman in 1967 could not carry the title. You had to have two. I'm surprised they didn't go with three. 1968, Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, she deserves it. Was this Funny Girl?
This would have been, Funny Girl. She played Fanny Bryce first on Broadway and then in the motion picture version of Funny Girl.
Are you shocked that I know that?
No, I'm all not. Right. No, I know you know your Barbara Streisand. In 1969, this is an interesting choice. I'm not sure it's correct, but I like it.
All right.
Carol Burnett was Hollywood's It Girl in 1969.
All right, I see it.
But... It kind of breaks the mold, I think, of what we're going for.
You're
with
going
this
for glamour, in my opinion, when it's an It Girl. Everybody, yeah, strives to be like her.
Yep.
I would have liked to have been like Carol Burnett. She's funny, funny, funny.
Absolutely. And a very good actress.
Totally.
Right? It says here that her classic program, The Carol Burnett Show, boasted its highest ratings that year in 1969. In 1970, Ally McGraw, you know why, obviously.
Oh, Love Story.
Love Story.
How beautiful was she?
Really beautiful.
And
really
Ryan O'Neill
beautiful.
Was not too shabby either back
no,
then.
No, I know. There were just pictures of them together. It must have been, it was a year ago because it was the anniversary. It was the 45-year anniversary of Love Story. So they showed the two of them got back together and did an interview. And they're still, I mean, they both look great. I don't know how old
I
they
wish
are.
They would
look
have
fantastic
gotten married. They made
in
such
real
a
life
great couple, yeah.
Well, she was married to, at that time, a producer, a very strange man named Robert Evans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was also then married to Bo Derek?
No, John Derek was married. Was Robert Evans
right, who
married?
Am I think? Yeah.
John Derek was married to Bo Derek.
Oh, who? No, Robert Evans. Didn't he have like bushy eyebrows and dark hair?
Kind of. Not really. There's a documentary about him called "The Kid Stays in the Picture," where they kind of chronicle. I don't remember him being involved with Bo Derek, but they kind of show his life. First as a young actor and then moving his way through Hollywood as a producer. Very, very, had a very high opinion of himself, which I guess you have to, I guess, if you're doing what he was doing.
He seemed like a cad.
He was. Perfect. Next week, we're going to do Hollywood's Cad Boys, and I'll do a segment on him.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, he is. He was a cad. But in this documentary, he talks about himself extremely lovingly. You know, like it was as if they said to him, who's your hero and why? And his answer was himself. And then he talked about why he was so great for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I know who he was. And I'm sorry, the mix up. I said Bo Derek was married to him. No, you're right. Bo Derek. But I got confused because Linda Evans was with John Derek. And that's.
Oh, right.
I got confused.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Robert Evans, no relation.
Bob Evans was
down on the farm.
Back then, he was down on the farm. Tina Turner was Hollywood's It Girl in 1971.
Can I just say one word?
Yeah.
Legs.
Yes.
Hubba.
Legs
hubba.
All the way up to there.
Oh, my God. So talented.
In 1972, another musician. A lot of musicians. Listen to all these musicians. 1972, it was Carly Simon. Her song You're So Vain had just come out in 1972.
Yeah, but on the album cover, she didn't have a bra on, let me just say that. And every boy and girl, quite honestly, noticed that.
Yeah, yeah.
Must have been cold in the studio.
Do you think this is accurate? In 1973, Hollywood's It Girl was Liza Minnelli.
Liza is Liza. That's all I can say.
She had just won an Academy Award for her work in Cabaret.
Life is a Cabaret.
Old chum.
Mm-hmm.
In 1974, Pam Grier.
What year was that?
1974. Pam Grier was in the movie Foxy Brown.
Yeah, she's unreal.
And the cousin of Rosie Grier.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
They're cousins. They're first cousins.
And she's gorgeous.
At that point, in the mid-70s, she was also romantically linked with Richard Pryor. I don't know that would figure into this, but that was his girlfriend for quite a while in the mid-70s.
He had good taste. Boy, she's beautiful. And then she came back. Was it Jackie Brown or something?
The Tarantino movie, Jackie Brown. Yeah.
And still looking fine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
1975 was Donna Summer. She was Hollywood's It Girl. She was the queen of the disco in 1975, and her song Love to Love You Baby was a chart topper. In 1976, again, if you're doing It Girl Hall of Fames.
Which you have.
I have in the house. Farrah Fawcett was 1976's It Girl.
I thought about her the other day for some reason, and I forgot she was no longer with us.
She's one of those people that it's still hard, even after a couple of years, you go, wait, she's not gone? Farrah Fawcett's gone? How'd that happen? All right, we've got more of these Hollywood It Girls. What year were the most popular girls in Hollywood at their peak? Find out next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace.
She's a Wendy.
You changed that lyric.
Oh.
You totally changed it.
I didn't.
I think you did.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Cosmo, the magazine Not to Drink, has chosen each year's It Girl, Hollywood It Girl. These are the most, I guess, I'm trying to think of how to accurately, because the way I think of this is, and I think you agree with me, it's a woman that would kind of change style to some extent.
Where other women would emulate them and try and be like them, and just that. I keep thinking Jennifer Aniston.
But she's not on here, but she should be.
To me is an It Girl.
Yeah, people change their hairstyle because of her, right?
Right, the Rachel. And that's what I'm thinking. But what they're doing is kind of like Time Person of the Year, who was popular then and who, as a woman, got the cover of Cosmo.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, in 1977, because of her work in Annie Hall, Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
And she did change because of Annie Hall. Women dressed differently. They dressed kind of the way Annie Hall dressed for a little while.
What year was this?
1977.
This is when Carla Felicia and I, and Carla, a friend of both of ours, stand-up comic, she and I both started wearing ties all the time.
Because of Annie Hall?
Yep.
And didn't you also say la-di-da?
No.
Because she did, I thought you did.
No, but ties, Carla, when she just started out in stand-up, that was her thing. And then I know Paula Poundstone did that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, Annie Hall changed a lot of people's fashion flair.
No doubt about that. 1978, it was Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah, let's get
thanks
physical.
Thanks to Grease and her music. In 1979, kind of an obscure actress, Meryl Streep. Does that name mean anything to you, Meryl Streep?
I wonder what happened to her.
Still in the business, it says here. Still working. She was in Kramer versus Kramer that year.
Great movie.
And then Manhattan also. So she had a pretty good year that year, 1979.
I love her.
In 1980, Goldie Hawn.
Loved her.
At that point, people knew her mostly from Laughing, but she went on to be in Private Benjamin, which was one of the top.
That was that year?
Yeah, that was 1980.
Shampoo?
Yeah, Shampoo. Oh, she was in a bunch of good movies. 1981, Dolly Parton was Hollywood's It Girl.
You know, I have more respect for her now than I did when she came out.
Do you?
as the It Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, just going to the Country Music Hall of Fame and realizing just the sweet little wonderful voice she had before all of the hoopla.
Yeah.
Before the whole 9-to-5 thing and everything. Pretty amazing talent.
She had, it says here, several chart-topping songs in that year, 1980 into 1981. And then she starred in the movie 9-to-5, and, you know, she was good in it.
She was really good in it.
In 1982, Deborah Winger was Hollywood's It Girl.
That I understand completely.
Officer and a Gentleman, big movie at the box office that year.
What was the movie, spoiler alert, where she is sick?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's a great,
with Shirley MacLaine?
Yeah. She's really
I'm
good in that.
I'm blanking on the name of it. And Jeff Daniels is in that, too, right?
Yeah, That's a great movie. God, why can't I think of it?
1983, finally a Chicagoan makes the It Girl. Who would that be in 1983?
Bill Murray.
No, It Girl.
Oh.
No.
Oprah.
No.
Who?
I'm trying to think of it, if I can give you a
what
hint.
What year are we talking?
In 1983, a Chicagoan.
Is it me?
It's not you, Wendy. Damn, that's a great guess. I think it's the only Chicagoan on the entire list. She could be on the list for her beauty or for her welding skills.
Jennifer Beals. Flashdance.
She did her own welding in the movie, by the way. They had somebody come in and do the dancing, but I hear from people in the business that Jennifer Beals did all of her own welding.
That's more dangerous than dancing.
Way more dangerous.
She started a whole style,
Flash Weld
too,
was the original title of that
movie. With the off-the-shoulder sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Carla and I also did that.
Oh, you were stealing from the It Girls.
We were cutting off the necklines of a crew neck sweatshirt just to have the little peep shoulder.
Hot. In 1984, Lisa Bonet.
Really? Because of Different World and
The Cosby
Kids.
Show. I don't think...
Not the Cosby Kids, sorry.
Not the Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
Hey, it's Lisa Bonet.
Mushmouth was the It Girl of 1984. Lisa Bonet, for her work as Denise Huxtable on the Cosby Show, the original Cosby Show.
She was so cool looking.
Yeah, she was.
And she still is. Got Lenny Kravitz.
She's still working, too. I just saw her in something a few weeks ago. Molly Ringwald, 1985's It Girl.
Pretty in Pink. Breakfast Club, all those movies.
It says right there is when she started her consecutive hits streak of 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, and several others. So 1985.
And you never called her.
Yeah, I can't talk about that. In 1987, Wendy, Cher, who started her farewell tour that year, and that's still going on. That's almost done.
Cher was, I loved the Sonny and Cher show. Did you watch that
up? The Sonny and Cher show was good, sure. Now, it said in 1987, Cher was already a hit in the music world and a TV star for the shows we just mentioned. First, it was Sonny and Cher, and then when they separated, they each gave them their own show for
not
a little while. Not as good without each other. And then that was also the year that she won the best Oscar for her work in Moonstruck. So,
she was great in that.
Yeah.
She really was. I forgot about that.
1988 would be the year for Melanie Griffith to be Hollywood's It Girl.
Something Wild. Working Girl.
That year it was Working Girl. She was nominated for an Academy Award for Working Girl. Didn't win. But Something Wild is probably her best of all time.
I loved her so much.
So good in that. In 1989, a supermodel, Naomi Campbell, was Hollywood's It Girl. And then it went back to an actress in 1990. That would be the year for Julia Roberts, who went from near obscurity in movies like Mystic Pizza, it says, to 1990's Pretty Woman.
And Julia Roberts' sister, of course, very popular. She's the It Girl on this show now because of this.
What if our hearts got a little bit hazy? Blame it on Rio. What if we acted like fools?
That's her singing it. And we think she co-wrote it, too, right? Is that what we think?
God, I hope not. I didn't give her that credit.
I don't know if she did or not. All right, it's up to you. There's more of these, including the next one. I've never heard of this person. I know everybody on this list, but I've never heard of the person who was Hollywood's It Girl in 1991. I have no idea who she is.
Well, let's leave us in suspense.
All right.
And we'll do some news, and then we'll
we got a couple more.
All right.
Yeah. All right, stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill, you have wowed me with something. I have gone and had fabulous lunches at a place called Labriola's in Oak Brook. That's the one I go
sure.
to. And I love it. And then all of a sudden you're telling me about these donuts that they have there. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, the restaurant you just referred to, Labriola, which is near you, but there's also one
there's
just
many.
About a block
yes.
and a half from us.
Been to that one, too.
That one's they're all delicious. They have now added... in addition to their regular menu.
I'm going to kill. There's like a
also,
fruit fly in here. That,
I
wait,
know. It's
here,
deadly.
Okay, get it. It just landed.
Yeah, it's deadly. So in addition to the Labriola Cafe, they also now have added, I don't know if this is applicable to all the restaurants, but is the one downtown here in Chicago, Stan's Donuts is right there when you walk in. Rich Labriola is here, the owner and proprietor of the Stan's Donuts and of Labriola restaurants. Is that in all the restaurants, Rich?
No, it's just the one on Michigan Avenue.
Just the one on Michigan
yeah.
Avenue.
We had a little. We had an area to put it, pastry coffee area.
Yeah.
That we thought would be better suited for the donuts, and it's turned out to be better suited for the donuts.
Yeah.
All right. So where does Stan's come from?
So, well, I've been a baker, you know, for the last 25 years. So I had a wholesale bakery, and I'm a baker at heart. I mean, mm-hmm. it's what I do best in life. But about 10 years ago, I saw on the Travel Channel Network top 10 donuts in the U.S., and this one guy took my interest. I don't know why. It's a very true story. I picked
yeah.
one person out of there, and it was Stan Berman. He's in Westwood, or Los Angeles, near UCLA.
Yeah.
And I called, just, you know, looked up the number, called him up. And he answered the phone. You know, it's a tiny place, but he's been at the same location now for 53 years.
Wow!
And he's, you know, going to be 87 because we have we always do a special on his birthday, so we're doing 87-cent donuts sometime in August. And so he answered the phone. We talked. I went out there and kind of talked for like a year, and then it went away. That was probably right before Krispy Kreme kind of took a dive.
Oh yeah.
But well,
yeah, that was the hottest thing in all
yeah.
the land here, yeah. and then bye bye.
But then did that make you nervous? Did you go, wow, donuts are the biggest thing in the world? Oh, maybe they're not.
Not so much because ours was different.
Yeah.
You know, what we're going to do is different. And even Stan's right now, we don't tout hot donuts. We just tout they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
So probably 3 or 4 years ago, I reached back out to him because I sold the wholesale bakery and had more time in my hands. And it was the best thing that could have ever happened because the plan that I had 10 years ago was nowhere as good as the plan we have now, which is a donut coffee shop, which... You know, I've said this a million times. Chicago, as much as it's a rich food tradition, I mean, we were talking about you grew up in Oak Forest.
Yeah.
I grew up in Blue Island. The neighborhood donut shop was Dunkin' Donuts for me.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against them, but there's no real culture of donut shops, like old-time donut shops. So
we had in Oak Forest, there was a place called Little Bill's Bakery, and half of it was birthday cakes, and the other half was donuts.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
that.
And the smell of that place, when you'd be walking up that front walkway into there, it was like, oh, I'm in heaven now. And you've carried that tradition on when you go into Stan's Donuts or Labriola's.
Yeah.
It's that same aroma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, the smell is just, you know, it's intoxicating.
Yes.
So, but... And so the new design or the new idea was donuts and coffee and some seats. And there's, you know, there's a few boutique donut shops in Chicago, which are great, but we're not that. You know,
yeah.
We have a mission of being a donut coffee shop culture, and we follow true to it in everything we, you know, each store we open. And so far, it's been great.
These donuts are beautiful. They're magical. And honestly, they have so much to offer that if you wanted to be nice, you could really split them with someone and still be satisfied.
We don't talk about splitting.
That's a true donut lover.
Yes, yes. Well, we, you know, I always say that usually donut shops are opened by pastry chefs and not by bread bakers. Those are two different, even though they're bakers, are two totally different things. It's like comparing a hockey player to a basketball player.
Yeah.
It's two different mindsets, two different things. And I believe that, you know, something that has yeast in it to me is bread, and that's what I'm good at. And
yeah.
So the yeast raised donuts are exceptional because there's 3 months of work went into that donut that's sitting right there. It's just,
and I just got the vanilla sprinkled because this to me is my favorite.
Yeah, it's, you know, the simple ones are mine, but you know, I think you like the peanut butter ones.
Love the peanut butter
and
ones.
And that's a Stan's. He I don't know anybody else who does that. Stan Berman kind of created that. He was a kind of a bread baker, pastry baker, but he kind of brought the two together because it's not a Bismarck where, you know,
right.
you fill it in. We make a square piece of dough. We fill it with peanut butter or Nutella or Biscoff before frying, let it proof, and it just changes the consistency and the eat of it, so it's not oozing out. It's a solid piece now, you know.
Oh, it is self-contained, so you're right.
Yeah, yeah, it's got some, because it's folded over like a pastry, it's got a little bit of crevice thing going on, a little bit but more exciting than a Bismarck.
But even with the vanilla, Wendy came in and she said, I apologize, I'm so boring, I just went with vanilla frosted. But it's so much more than just vanilla frosted. The vanilla just is so, it just permeates, it's so big.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's vanilla notes in the donut, in the glaze. I mean, we use the best ingredients we could ever find. It's just, it's, you know, the mission is to be the best donuts out there, and after that, it's a good business. And,
I know both your daughters love it, but Reese especially, and you went to pick up some donuts one day, and there was a line that you didn't want to wait in. It's a long line.
Yeah. You should know this about my daughter, Reese. In all the years I've been in radio, I always tell her which guests we have coming into the studio. She wanted to meet Colin Jost a few months ago, the guy who hosts Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update. And then when I told her you were coming on, she's like, on a day that I'm working, why would you do that to me? She wants to meet you so badly. You're her hero.
That's funny because, you know, when I talk to people and, you know, someone wants me to meet one of their kids, exactly what you're saying. So if they're under 30 years old, they say, yeah, he owned the bakery. He's got the restaurant here. He's got the restaurant there. And, you know, their eyes kind of glaze over. And then now I know what to say. As soon as you say Stan's Donuts, their eyes just light up.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter the last 25 years. Yeah, it is. It is, you know.
Go through some of the other flavors because you have some of the basic flavors that people are accustomed to, but you have some other flavors I don't think they're making anywhere else.
No. We developed it. We followed Stan's platform, but I made my own new recipes.
Did you?
Yeah, because the donut, like you're eating the glazed donut is my pride and joy. That's the one it took 3 months to perfect. And
it is perfect.
It takes 24 hours to make. But we also, you know, the pockets, the one thing we introduced that I don't know if any donut person did is, Biscoff is, it's kind of a cookie spread.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a pocket with that. And no one was doing that when we started doing that. I don't know if they still are. And that's a popular one. And we do a lemon pistachio donut that has this insanely expensive pistachio paste in the frosting. We just introduced a cherry donut.
Had those. Love those.
Yeah.
Those are really
new.
Good.
That was my idea.
Yeah.
good job.
And thank you. You know, none of your employees ever pat you on the back. but I'm not a good pat on the back either.
So what will become of this? Will you put more Stan's Donuts in the other Labriola's restaurants? What do you think will happen?
No, there? I think they're mostly standalone stores.
Yeah.
You know, that one was just a unique opportunity that worked out well. And if we have that same situation, we would do that.
You would.
But, mostly they're standalone stores. I mean, we have the one in Damon Avenue, Clark and Diversey, Broadway, North Broadway. Those all have somewhere around 20 seats in them. Our goal is that it's a standalone, you know, donut coffee shop. You know, it's almost like, you know, an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
You know, you sit there, you spend your few minutes, have your donuts, and...
And get the hell out.
And go.
Yeah. Right.
Are you coming to the suburbs? Because you should.
Actually, we are opening up in Oak Brook Center in November.
Perfect.
Where they're putting a new movie theater, and we're actually opening up sometime next year in Oak Brook Terrace with a drive-through.
Uh-huh.
So that'll be very dangerous for you.
That is going to be dangerous.
I can do a little shopping and then bring some donuts home for the kids. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
And I'm not sure if you knew this, but someone stuck gum underneath your thing here.
Yeah, we know.
Oh, there's gum under the counter?
Yeah, we know.
Good God, what is happening to this place?
Neighborhood's just going all to heck.
I could see it on a church pew, but
yeah,
in a radio station?
Yeah, but not on a radio station.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Rich.
That's okay.
We'll class it up next time you're here, I promise.
Well, so nice to meet you, and good luck. StansDonutsChicago.com. You can go there. I'm there right now and find out all the locations. And it's really more than a donut, and I say you could share it with somebody. I don't care what you say.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Rich, thanks
pleasure
so much.
You.
For having me. I appreciate
it. They are
it.
Delicious, no doubt about it. Go to StansDonutsChicago.com or, like Wendy said, LabriolaCafe.com. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Rich Labriola was in. You can go to Labriola Cafe. They have great thin crust pizza, great salads, and now Stan's Donuts. Someone has texted us and wondered if they have bacon donuts, and they do, in fact.
They do have bacon donuts there.
With the maple syrup, not maple, yeah, maple syrup frosting kind
right.
of thing, a maple frosting.
Right.
And bacon bits, and very good.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And I don't know, Ryan, did you do some... People are mad at you.
At Ryan Burrow?
Yeah.
It's impossible to be mad at Ryan Burrow.
Well, somebody says, Olympic spoiler alerts, please. And this does create a problem because a lot of people are at work when the events are taking place, or the events happen when you're sleeping.
Right.
So people are DVRing and watching at various times. So I guess you... I don't know how that works.
Well, I've got to tell you, they're not going to show. I mean, they might show the penalty kicks in prime time, but they're not going to show an entire soccer match in prime time tonight. That's not going to happen. They do sometimes hold over things like gymnastics or swimming.
Sure.
Most of the big swimming events are in prime time anyways. Gymnastics yesterday was held over, but I got to tell you guys, we all got cell phones now. I mean,
I got the alert.
We got Facebook. I mean, my phone's buzzed every time. Anytime the judo person wins gold, I mean, it pops up, you know?
I can't believe some of
the events.
I
can't wait for everyone, you know?
Like, you know, air pistol shooting and stuff.
Right.
I was doing some research and found out that there are various medalists and participators who are over 40.
Oh, yeah, a bunch.
And there's some in their 50s. Isn't there an age limit for the Olympics?
No. You know, a lot of those, you know, at least for Team USA, a lot of those are either current or ex-military, too, especially the shooters. Kind of cool. A lot of them are from Georgia. Yeah, a lot of them are from the same base.
I would have worked a little harder if I knew that there were, like, interesting events and stuff. A lot of the, I mean.
Well, what would you have done differently?
I don't know.
We'll go up to the curling center up in Deerfield after this, and we'll get you prepped for the next winters.
It's 4 years away. Come on, you got time.
That is the goofiest thing, that curling. Is that where you have little brushes with that thing on the ice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's the sport of Canada, well, other than hockey. It's their second sport. For the guys who couldn't get onto the hockey team, there's curling.
That's where you're brushing the ice so that the puck can get by, that one?
And you're cleaning the ice at the same time.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's a good thing for everybody.
It's really silly.
I'll tell you what, we'll start training for weightlifting after this. We'll get you ready for Tokyo. What do you say?
Well, that I understand, but there are just things I didn't even know, like this shooting. And so, I'm not being silly. I never watched any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I've got a little story for you. I went to the Atlanta Olympics in 1996. All right.
To cover them? No.
You weren't in them?
No. But anyways, part of the deal is you, at least in Atlanta, you could buy a package deal and then you would come with some tickets. And, you know, a lot of them were for sports that weren't very interesting.
Right.
I did see basketball, but it wasn't USA. It was like Yugoslavia against someone, you know, it was, but anyways, we ended up getting in the package these tickets for shooting. Well, we weren't going to go. We found something else to go to. So. I was a teenager at the time, stood on the corner and started yelling, shooting tickets! I got shooting tickets! Shooting! Anyone! The police didn't like that too much. And, you know, I didn't get arrested, but they came up to me and they said, what are you doing?
You got reprimanded.
Uh-uh. Yeah, I did.
Oh, no.
From the Atlanta police for shooting. For saying shooting.
All right, well, a lot of horseback riders are able to do events into their... There's a woman who's 61. Can I just say that? Who's participating in the Olympics?
Oh, I could see that. There's.
Why do I think it's for young
events.
People?
Oh,
for the most
always.
Part, it is.
Do you remember Gina Davis participated in the Olympics?
Actress Gina Davis? Is she an ice skater?
No, bow and arrow.
Oh, I did know that.
She's really good at archery. And I think, wasn't one of the British princesses, I want to say Princess Anne, wasn't she in an equestrian event one year?
I think that's ringing a bell.
I think so.
Well, they're the oldest the oldest competitor at the Rio Olympics, which in a way you're like, really? That's what you're going to call me?
Mm.
But she is Mary Hannah of Australia, who's 61 years old. She's in horseback riding.
That's tremendous. At 61 to still be in the Olympics.
It followed closely by British show jumper John Whittaker, who just celebrated his 61st birthday. So they're both 61 years old.
That's
Isn't that
incredible.
Amazing?
Yeah.
In the meantime, you've got 14 and 15-year-olds as
right.
well, so it's quite a swing.
Are there any celebrities that have been spotted at the Olympics watching?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey was there.
Yeah,
his wife's Brazilian.
That's the only reason he went.
I think that might have got him in the door, I think.
So anybody besides Matthew McConaughey?
There have been others. I just haven't been logging them.
Usually Jim Belushi shows up to sporting events for some reason. Is he there?
Not this.
Vince Vaughn is there with his Hawk sweater on for some reason.
Yeah. I always see those guys at every sporting event. They're not at this?
Now that a lot of these team sports are going to start you know, ramping up into like the championship rounds, you might see some guys popping out there for, you know,
maybe
basketball championships or volleyball championships. Women's volleyball seems to be very popular for some reason.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
for
I
some
want
reason.
An update. I know. Wow.
Right, we don't know why. Nobody knows why.
I would like, Kathleen, see? Kathleen, you want the spoiler alerts for the Olympics, huh?
Oh, please, I do. Because when the news is being spoken, yeah, I'm jumping up and down and screaming and screaming.
Ryan, can you just say,
hear it.
Like, can you preface it before you give the sporting event scores? Could you just say?
We talked about that, but the only thing is we don't want people to turn away.
Just say, Kathleen, you know what I mean? Spoiler alert, and then yeah, Kathleen okay. will know All to right. Just cover your ears
now,
for about 30 seconds.
Now, Kathleen.
I would be so grateful.
Kathleen, my question is.
I'm an Olympic nerd, mm-hmm. and I just enjoy watching, you know.
Without knowing who's going
to
win.
Every night that NBC will allow us to see.
But Kathleen, my question to you is, I mean, are there any things like in particular, or I can't do any of these scores and medals? I mean, is it just gymnastics? Is it just swimming? I mean, is it all sports?
Well, really, I'm all sports. I'm particularly following Clarissa Shields, a boxer from Flint, Michigan.
Awesome.
She's an amazing story, this young lady.
I'm going to look
Clarissa
into her.
Shields. Now, I don't think I'm going to see her actually box next Wednesday. I'm not sure if
you're going to the Olympics?
Pardon?
You're going to the Olympics?
No, I'm not going.
Just watching on
wish.
TV.
That's on my bucket list.
So,
that
Ryan,
nice.
Just say in the sports for the next 20 seconds if you don't want to hear these, you know, Olympic scores, right?
Basketball, gymnastics, swimming.
See, but that's the problem with the basketball, though. I mean, they're not going to re-show that whole basketball
game
in prime time.
Yeah, there's no way you're
going to
see it.
They're not going to show the whole soccer game in prime time. I mean, it's over. They might show you some highlights, but, you know. And the other thing is, too, I got to tell you, I don't mean to toot NBC's horn here, but they've got that app, and it alerts you every time there's something that's about to happen or something that did just happen. So, you know, if you want to follow it that way, that's another way.
Maybe I'll do that, too.
All right.
Because I have it on my phone where all these scores are coming up, and I'm avoiding that.
All right, well, don't avoid this radio station. Just when you hear in Olympic news.
Are you kidding me? I would never avoid WGN or you or Bill.
Awesome.
You're so nice.
Well, how about when you just hear the word in Olympics, just kind of go la 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 la.
We've been la la laing and doing to it.
Just don't flip the station, all right?
No, she's not going
to. Trouble.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks, Kathleen.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
Oh, you're so nice.
I hope Clarissa Shields wins.
Don't we?
Yes, we do.
Thank
yes, we
you.
Do. Kathleen, thanks. All right, we're going to take a break for news. And then after the news, Ryan's new segment where he tells you the ends of movies you haven't seen yet. We're going to try that. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill and Wendy. And we're getting a lot of texts saying, you know, we need spoiler alerts for the Olympics. But there's also a texter who says, let me know who wins because then I'll watch more closely when I'm watching.
Oh, that's
the argument, right? It's if you know this person's going to win in judo, you may not watch judo, but maybe you will, you know, in the prime time.
You can't do spoiler alerts. This isn't like a movie. You know, you can't do it.
But I can see where if somebody has their heart set on watching the events tonight, they want to go in not knowing who finishes where, you know.
And they got to stay off the internet. They got to stay off Facebook. They got
to
stay off Twitter.
To do that, not talk to anybody. I know.
And we want people to listen. And you know what? We got to do the news. Also, right. Someone has texted, and it's no offense to you, Ryan.
I love it when sentences start off that way.
It truly isn't, but why doesn't Bertrand do the news with Bill and Wendy anymore? And he will be back to doing that.
I won in
that.
Arm wrestling.
Spoiler well, yeah, alert.
Because
people are going to watch that tonight and know you beat him.
He's in a little weak, and that's why you beat him, because he had a surgical procedure done, so he's still kind of recovering.
Also trained really hard.
Right, just, there's you know. That. Right.
And he will be back to doing news on our show on a regular basis, but we always love having Ryan Burrow
sure.
and Kim Gordon as well.
Yep.
So we love the newsroom here.
Absolutely true.
Another text, Bill, if I may.
Yes.
Someone wants to know, who is the It Girl Bill had never heard of, because we were talking about the It Girls. And we stopped talking about him.
We did. We had a donut break. Here's what happened. Cosmo magazine said that every year, they tracked it back to 1960. But as I mentioned earlier, this has been going on since the late 1920s or early 1930s, when Clara Bow, then of the silent films, was Hollywood's first It Girl. This is, again, if you're new to this, it's a woman that kind of embodies fashion and style and talent and everything, and everybody in Hollywood loves her and wants to work with her, and she's on the cover of magazines and in movies and TV shows.
It's
and,
like, who's the hottest girl for that year?
Right, right, right. And we've mentioned some pretty prominent names, names like Audrey Hepburn and Elizabeth Taylor. Barbara Streisand was the it girl one year.
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin, Farrah Fawcett. But now we come to the year 1991, and forgive me, but I have no idea who this is. I've never heard of this woman before. Gong Lee. First name Gong, G-O-N-G. Second name Lee, L-I. Gong Lee, according to Cosmo, was the it girl of 1991. It says, known for her work with director Yimou Zhang, she starred in Raise the Red Lantern, a heartbreaking masterpiece about bonds and betrayal among the wives of a wealthy man. Gong Lee, who had her own show for a while with Chuck Barris as the host.
The Gong Show.
The Gong Show.
And, you know, she won over her sister because her sister's name was Gang.
Gang Lee.
Gang Lee. There was a third sister,
Ugg. Who,
all right, see, that's just mean.
That's mean. That one's mean. Spoiler
and
alert.
And 10-year-old boy-like.
Spoiler alert. These are fictional people.
What's her name? Gong?
Gong Lee.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-da.
Ah, Rip Taylor, why'd you gong my old friend Gong Lee?
L-I?
Yeah.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Is she pretty? Well, she was Hollywood's It Girl in 1991. Did you ever hear of her? I never heard of her before.
She helped to bring Chinese cinema to Europe and the United States. So very,
she did.
Yeah, she's very beautiful, and she helped.
She is stunning.
Yeah,
I never heard of her.
But I did not. And you, Mr. Film,
I should have known who Gong Li was. Now, 1991 was also one of those years that there were not one but two It Girls. That had happened once before. They said in addition to Gong Li, Jodie Foster, because of her work in Silence of the Lambs, was also an It Girl in 1991.
Can I tell you that Cosmo is not committing to an It Girl on that year? It's like, let's put Gong Li there, but let's put a real one,
somebody
too.
Somebody that Bill's heard of and Wendy's heard of.
And same thing with Aretha Franklin. They put her and Faye Dunaway.
Right. You're right. You're absolutely
right.
They
didn't commit. You got to commit with your It Girl.
When you name an It Girl, stick by it. Stick by your It Girl. Whitney Houston in 1992 was the It Girl.
I can't believe she's no longer with us.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
I agree. 1993, Whoopi Goldberg.
Good for her.
Sister Act was a huge box office success. Then that led to Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. And she was also in the movie Made in America in that year in 1993. So Whoopi Goldberg was that year's It Girl. 1994, Winona Ryder.
Really?
Coming off the success of Heathers, then Beetlejuice, then Edward Scissorhands, then Reality Bites.
And then marrying Johnny Depp, then divorcing Johnny Depp.
I don't think they were married.
Oh, okay.
I think they were together.
Who got the tattoo? He did of Winona?
I want to say they each got a tattoo of the other one's name or something.
Well, Johnny, the odds are you could find somebody named Johnny to date again. Not so much. And she's great on Stranger Things.
Yeah, she's good. Very good. 1995, Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, my God. Clueless.
Yeah. Very pretty. Although,
she was good in it, too, not just pretty.
She was good in it, but I'm trying to think, like, beyond that, she didn't do much after that, did she?
But that was such a big hit.
Yeah. All right.
It's the It Girl just for a year, Bill.
I guess so.
You only have to have that It.
I want my It Girls to last longer. I want a longer shelf life on my It Girls. Renee Zellweger, Wendy, in 1996 was the It Girl for Hollywood.
Poor thing, not anymore.
It's, did you see the story? Hugh Grant was just on some show, and they're showing Hugh Grant pictures of the women that he's worked with in the past. So there's a picture of Renee Zellweger up on the screen, and he just kind of shrugs and goes, I'm not sure who that is, because she looks that different.
And she doesn't look bad, and I'm not getting into that whole thing again. There was a picture that surfaced that everybody saw and commented on.
Right.
I don't think she looks bad,
but she
does not look like the Renee Zellweger that you're used to seeing.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Right. You're absolutely right. Of course, the reason for Renee Zellweger's high spot that year in 1996 was her work in Jerry Maguire.
Oh, that's right. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Show me the Zellweger.
That's hard to do now because nobody knows who she is. Lauryn Hill, an interesting choice for 1998. Lauryn
Musician.
Hill. Yep.
Why?
Her solo album, best-selling solo album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, very popular in 1998 for this former Fugees member. 1999, Britney Spears was Hollywood's It Girl.
She was, man.
Hard to disagree with that. I mean, I know she kind of became almost a self-parody in the, well, I want to say in the years that followed, but this was 1999 when she was at the peak of her popularity, but still now, 17 years later, she's still on the internet every day doing, say,
oh,
if
well,
she goes
she's back.
Shopping or she smokes, she's on the internet.
Well, she's back in, on tour. She yeah. just had a bit of a breakdown and
right.
Shaved her head.
For a little while.
Yeah, and she's back in action.
Yeah, it says in late 1998, Britney Spears was dancing in a high school hallway in her school girl uniform for Baby One More Time, which came out early the following year, and it made Britney Spears an international superstar. I think that was the year, or was it the next year, that she was she did the halftime show for the Super Bowl.
That was pretty great.
Yeah, she was pretty good, right?
She's an entertainer.
Yeah.
Whether you like her music or not, very entertaining on stage,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Much more so than Coldplay.
She is. But then you got a Coldplay shot in. You
yep,
snuck a Coldplay
I
shot
did.
In. But then, like, did you ever hear those tapes that she made with, remember her husband, Kevin Federline?
Yeah.
K-Fed?
Yeah. Like I said, who?
I know. So there were tapes of just the two of them discussing life's intricacies, and like when you hear those, you'd say to yourself, oh my god,
that everything was a reality show, wasn't it? That's where
I can't remember. Was
I
it
think,
a reality
yeah, Britney
show?
Yeah, and
oh, maybe
I think it was.
Could have been. All right, a quick break, and then we'll give you the final chapter.
On Are we going to get through all of them by three?
Yeah, I'll race through them. We'll get through. There's only a couple more. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bill, I'd like you to be the It Girl for this year.
Wouldn't that be something? That would be a shocker. I think the world would be shocked if that came true. We only have a couple more of these. These are the girls, the women that Hollywood has selected as the It Girl for any particular year. In 2000, it was Gabrielle Union. An odd choice.
Isn't she married to somebody right now?
Western Union.
That doesn't even deserve a laugh.
She was in the movie in 2000, Bring It On.
I don't know who that is.
I know her from that show. Did you ever see that show that was on for a couple of years with Jim Caviezel, where he knows about crimes that before they happen? Did you ever see that show?
No, but I like the name Caviezel.
Yeah, Jim Caviezel. So he's in a show where he and Michael Emerson from Lost, they fight crimes that have not happened yet. And Gabrielle Union, I think, was on that show for a while, I think.
Isn't she married to Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Thank you, Kim, the voice of reason, finally.
Kim, you're right. I believe she is married,
too. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Oh.
Because he's now in Chicago,
yeah.
And she was there at the press conference with him.
Was she? Oh, that's cool. That'll be nice.
It already happened.
No, but I mean through the season to see Dwayne Wade every time he plays. I hope she'll get tickets to the games. I hope he can get her a ticket. I hope.
So you can look at her? What's happened to you?
Well, if the team's not doing well. 2001, Reese Witherspoon, Wendy.
I love her.
She's the It Girl because of Legally Blonde. In 2002, it was Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
That's one of the prettiest women that's ever come on the earth, ever, ever, ever. Beyonce, 2003. 2004, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, poor Lindsay.
Things have not ended well.
She's still doing okay, isn't she?
Not good. Not good. 2005. This is one of my favorite. I love this girl. Every time I see this girl in a movie, I say to myself, she's good. I say that out loud.
You have turned into like an ogler the last.
I'm not ogling. I'm admiring her ability to transform
I bet
into
she's
different
pretty.
Beautiful girls. She's already beautiful, and then she can turn herself into other beautiful girls. Rachel McAdams.
I don't know who that
she's,
is.
Wendy, she's so good. She was in Mean Girls. She was in The Notebook. She was in Wedding Crashers. She's in the Sherlock Holmes movies.
She's really pretty.
Really pretty. She's Canadian. She played for the Montreal Expos for a few years. Really
she's
pretty.
She's cute.
Yep. You don't seem plussed by her at all.
She's a very pretty girl.
Good actress. I don't care how pretty she is, Wendy. She's a good actress. Anne Hathaway in 2006.
She won me over as Batgirl, I got to tell you. Or Catgirl. What was she?
She was Catwoman.
Yeah, she won me over. I really wasn't a fan of hers before.
And then?
And then I saw her.
Catwoman did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was really good in that role, I thought.
I always like her. Anne Hathaway was 2006's It Girl. In 2007, another Chicagoan. There have been two.
Oprah.
No, Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
Good call. Not only for her work on American Idol, where she came in seventh. Imagine she came in seventh.
And has such a career to speak of right now.
She's doing great. She came in
seventh. She's amazing. Can you believe that?
Boy, is she good.
The public doesn't know a lot about who
I
they
know.
Should pick.
Right. They picked her as seventh. But then that was the year, 2007, that Jennifer Hudson won her Oscar for supporting actress for her work in Dreamgirls. And she's just transformed herself. She's just like, I don't know how she did it. She's just
Weight
a different
Watchers.
Person. Was it Weight Watchers? Is that what it was? I don't know. Was that it for sure? We know?
Well, yeah, I know.
No,
she
that
was
is
their
sure.
spokesperson.
She did commercials.
She transformed herself.
She looks
I mean,
great.
She worked hard
Sounds
at it.
Sounds great. Looks great. Smells nice. Kristen Stewart
this is
in 2008.
Really, like, not like you this last half hour, really. Oh, she's so cute. I
these
hope
are,
Dwayne Wade.
Wendy, these are
Beyonce
the It Girls. You can't even debate these. These are It Girls. Kristen Stewart in 2008 for her work in Twilight. In 2009, Lea Michele.
Well, for what?
You don't know what Lea Michele has done?
What was she? What are they mentioning?
Well, Glee.
I have not
Glee.
Seen one episode of Glee ever in my
like
life.
It. You would enjoy it. 2010, Emma Stone.
She has big eyes.
Was that the year that Zombieland came out?
No. This would have been Super Bad.
Oh, that was okay. Good.
And then Easy A. She was also in Easy A. 2011. Now, I would argue that this girl, even though she won it in 2011, she could win it again today, but nobody's ever repeated. Jennifer Lawrence.
I love her. She's great.
Good.
Yep.
From my hometown of Louisville.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her brothers played baseball with my sons.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did she come to any of the games?
She did.
She
but
did?
I remember as a little girl and her dad did our driveway. Yeah, we know them pretty well.
Jennifer Lawrence's dad paved your driveway.
Yes. And poured our basement.
That's cool.
I think they should put a plaque in your house
That's
or something.
That's very cool.
It's my old house now, but yeah.
Well,
that's
no,
so
I know.
Cool.
That's, you know, former home of Kim Gordon.
And Jennifer Lawrence's dad.
And Jennifer
yeah,
Lawrence's
see?
Dad.
He worked here.
Kerry Washington in 2012. Very talented actress. Lupita Nyong'o in 2013.
She's great.
She did our duct work. Did you know that? Lupita Nyong'o did our duct work at our house, Wendy. Why, it's funny.
Her dad cleaned your vents.
Yeah, Mr. Nyong'o, Sam Nyong'o. Gina Rodriguez, 2014, for her work in Jane the Virgin. And then this year's It Girl is Priyanka Chopra.
Deepak's daughter?
I don't think they're related. It says Chopra has been a star for years in Bollywood, but in 2015, her ABC show Quantico, that's where I know her from.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't figure out where I knew
that
name.
She's been on all the bus boards. She is
she's very
beautiful.
Stunning.
I've never seen this show.
This is not like you.
What?
Oogling a girl like this?
It's oogling.
No, you're oogling her. It's worse. It's 10 degrees worse. She put in our patio. Her and her dad put
that
in our patio.
That is so not funny.
It's true.
Susan, you have a great question. Susan,
yes.
Real quickly, yes. You have a great question.
Yes, I'm a girl. Just wondering, can't help but wonder who are the it guys? That would be of more interest to
they
me.
They don't list any of the it guys.
We'll find the it guys to talk about next week.
All
How's
right.
that?
All right.
And then
Thank
we can
you.
Ogle like Bill is
you
doing.
You were oogling. You were even worse.
It's not oogle. Google eyes ogling. Bye, Susan. She just is out. Thank you. Goodbye. Have a great weekend,
Susan. You
were
speaking in tongues for a minute.
No.
Yes, you were.
The goo-goo googly eyes.
Oh.
Oogle is not a word. It's you.
Google oogle.
You could Google oogle. Do that.
You ogle. Or is it ogle?
I don't know. I don't know. We have to take a break. I don't know if we will come back. Will we? We
I
might not come
to.
Back.
I'm
we
already,
may not.
I'm already
we'll see
finished
what happens.
With the show.
It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.